B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m. and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And let's begin your Tuesdays the right way. The John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Our 6 a.m. sponsor is Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. We've got the whole gang together, except for Connor, who is in Mexico. I don't think there's been any international incidents yet, except his Instagram profile. I think the CIA is going to have to get in on that.
Yeah, I need to talk to Connor when he gets
back. Yeah, we got to talk to Connor. When even Olivia is saying, "Dad, did you see Connor's Instagram? It's just not. There's something not right." But we'll begin today with what should be potentially happy news. We're going to talk today about an exciting showdown, two-game series with the Yankees that begins tonight in New York. Phillies, 92 games, so there are 70 of these left, into their 2021 season. That's 57% of their schedule. And they're sitting at 47-45. Optimism across all the shows yesterday, incredibly high. And I think that's a good thing. It's a lot better than 2017. And I don't even remember it being this bad. But did you realize in 2017 at the 92 game point, the Phillies were 30 games under 500? It was that bad, 31-61. So why does this year feel so different? And I'm going to ask you, should it? Do you know in Gabe Kapler's 2018 season, after 92 games, the Phillies were 52-40?
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
Thank you, Gabe. Much better than what they are now. In their last full season in 2019, also under Gabe Kapler, they were 47-45.
We love it. We love it. I think it's incredible.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's exactly where they are right now. And we all know where that season ended, in Bob Cooneyville, 81-81.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, since it was a short schedule, I have to just do the percentages. 57% of their way through their schedule last year, the Phillies were four games over 500, better than they are today. So why is it that we think this team is different? This team should be buyers. Are we just getting caught up in a few good weeks? Or is it just that the first place team is that bad? And that's where we begin the Tuesday edition of the John Kincaid Show with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach Eric Camille. We've got Tom in for Connor. We've got Mike Heavy Chevy directing the broadcast on Twitch.tv and YouTube. And we have a superstar intern, Ryan Schwager, who I must tell you guys, I've never seen a youngster come in here. Now, he's going to be a senior at Arizona State this year. I've never seen a guy understand more about creating topics for sports radio. I'm very impressed with this guy.
I've already contracted him out to do my emails for the rest of the week. So,
no, wait, you're going to have to
I Venmo'd him already. It's done.
You're going to have to overbid Bob.
That's fine. Bob doesn't even have Venmo.
Bob
carries cash like a weirdo.
See, now Bob carrying cash, Venmo, though, he can get to him faster.
That's true. Yeah. Say, well, my Venmo's already hit. So.
He said, do you want to trust or do you want it? Bob, I'm wondering, is it just that the Mets aren't that great that we're saying 47-45? Because it shows this isn't any better than they've been since 2018, 19, 20. They're exactly pretty much where they've been.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. And Kapler did do a good job of having this team in it and then Girardi last year. But they did decent jobs over the last few years of staying in it up until the last couple of months of the season.
And they were better last year.
I think
57% in than they are this year.
Yeah, I was thinking hard about this when you brought it up. And I think the optimism comes from having now, at least to me, the more optimism comes from having Zach Wheeler. And having that true number one stud guy. I mean, he's the second best pitcher in the National League. You know,
and he's the only one active right now.
Yeah.
The other guy's not active.
Yeah. So I there's that, because if you look at change, there hasn't been a whole lot. There hasn't been a whole lot at all. with this lineup or anything like that. I just think Zach Wheeler is the reason. Now, you could lean towards the Mets, and don't forget you had a World Series champion come out of the National League East in Washington a few years ago, but they started that season like 19-38 or 31. So my optimism goes directly towards the starting pitching. And if it's Zach Wheeler, number one, number two, and number three. And then it goes to if Eflin can hold on and if Nola can right himself.
I'm shocked, Jamie, though, when I did the exercise yesterday, that last year's Phillies, 57% of the way into the season, had a better record. They were further over 500. In fact, four games over instead of two. That, to me, is incredible because I'm thinking this year is so much better than last year.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Baseball seasons are weird. They just have vibes to them, and this season they should be better than they are. I mean, 23 blown saves is a joke, but I think it is because of Wheeler and Eflin where you feel a little more confident. And let's not forget, they have been buyers these past couple of years. I mean, even a Jay Bruce, a Corey Dickerson, you know, a couple other little tweaks here and there. They have tried, and the trades for the most part have been good at the deadline. But it just hasn't been enough. Now you have such a glaring need. I think it's an easier one to address.
You know what's funny is? We all keep doing it. Because of Wheeler and Eflin. Wheeler and Eflin. We're not even mentioning Pat's boy who goes tonight.
And Aaron. Yeah, if they want to be a playoff team, he needs to get together.
My boy? Yeah, he's your boy.
Really?
Aaron Nola is an ace.
Yeah, that's my boy.
That was good.
That's you right there, sir.
I raised some money for cancer.
Let's not bury the lead here. That's you. Yeah, and Jamie's right. You're not going to win crap unless Aaron Nola gets right. Because
shock you though that this year's Phillies team is actually two less games over 500 than last year's same point of the season, 57% of the games played.
Yes,
it shocks me.
Yeah, it is. It is surprising because. Last year was
60 games.
It was 60 games, and it was compounded by the fact that their bullpen was so bad.
Yeah.
That it was soul crushing anytime Girardi came out and went to the bullpen. You knew it was coming. This year does feel different in a way, but then it's soul crushing when they go to the ninth inning.
Is it different because you're playing outside the division this year? Remember last year, you were pretty much only playing. Geographically, you were only playing pretty much in your division and those Eastern teams in the American League East.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when I look and compare, last year I really kind of put behind a screen and say, I can't gather much out of last year because of just what you said. Limited schedule, playing only division opponents a lot of times.
And then American League East.
Yeah, last year was such an anomaly that I really can't make it comparable to anything. So I kind of go back to when Kapler was here.
Last year was so weird. Yeah. I mean, from the Mickey Mouse bubble to a shortened baseball season to a no training camp NFL season. It was just, it's hard to put much credence in anything that happened last year. I mean, I'm not saying
other do you think other cities are saying that?
The losing ones, yeah, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm in LA, the Dodgers and Lakers championships are the greatest ever. It was such a weird year. Not to say it didn't matter, but it was hard to read too much into anything that happened last year.
Yeah, there's no fans in the stands. You got 60 games in baseball. Yeah, if the Sixers had won a championship last year, it absolutely counts.
100%.
It does count, sure.
But
the hardest title ever to win.
They didn't, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah, that season sucked. Yeah.
And you kind of saw what happened, at least in the NBA, you saw what happened to the two teams that were in it, that were in the finals. They didn't make it out of the first round. Ignore the NHL because that team went back to back. But in the NBA... You know, yeah.
Hockey players are built different.
It is really hard to take what happened last year as, like, face value.
It is just weird, though, that we are so optimistic. At least, I don't know about so optimistic. It maybe is the wrong term.
Cautiously optimistic?
We're cautiously optimistic about the Phillies, and they're actually worse than they were last year at the same point in the schedule. That, to me, is shocking. When I saw that, I said, that can't be true. And it is.
Where were they last year at this point?
How many games over 500? The difference.
Yeah.
They were out because the Braves were better last year.
Does go to your point, John, about
it's
Mets.
Because the Mets suck.
Yeah.
They're not as good.
Yeah, they're hitting a little bit lately and 15 more runs last night.
Well, they played the Reds, so you're going to hit against the Reds.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, so I, yeah, there's really not a reason to be kind of optimistic.
I want to be, though. You know, sure. I want to be, but...
Absolutely.
It just seems like maybe it's all on shifting sand. You know, it just is... By the way, just off topic. So I watched last night. Did you see they have two more buildings where they're saying get people out in like Miami?
Really?
There's like... Now they're up to four buildings where they're saying to people... These buildings at least temporarily got to be evacuated while they're doing.
Yikes.
Isn't that scary?
It's horrifying.
And then they showed this video of a man on the national news that was in Tampa. And he was in downtown Tampa. And he's in a high-rise office building. And this place looks gorgeous. And it must have been raining in Florida. And it was like pouring rain in the garage.
Oh, that's not good.
And he was showing the rebar. In the bottom garage, the rusty rebar exposed and broken cement. And he's showing videos, and they're showing it on the local news in Tampa, and then it became a national story. I've never thought about... There is a parking garage that I parked in every single day right next to the Braves Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I would walk in the staircase, in the cement staircase. And this was only, 4 years old, 3 years old? And it would be... When it was raining outside, there would be...
Yikes.
The inside staircases were completely wet. They would have to come in and mop. And I would say, this can't be good. Now that you're seeing all these things, it's in my head.
We put a lot of trust in these people that build these.
Oh, my gosh.
You never think about it.
No, now I do. Now I'm looking everywhere going, jeez.
Yeah.
Hey, FanFest is coming up. Saturday, September the 18th at Xfinity Live. It's a free event. You're going to need a ticket to attend. And coming up this Thursday morning... On the John Kincaid Show, we will have an online ticket raid, which means Coach takes a stack of tickets and makes them available to the public, Coach. This is my first ticket raid.
Yeah.
For a fan fest. People are wanting to know more about what the ticket raid is. I had some DMs yesterday.
Yeah. Thursday morning. I'm gonna give you the time, too. Because we just scheduled it yesterday. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay. You're crazy, man. You're crazy.
I know
you're
I am. Wild
you're
now.
Kooky. You're nuts.
Coach parting with information is like a good job for Virginia.
I know it is. So the way it's going to work is if you log on to our Fanatic website on Thursday morning at 8 a.m., you'll be able to click on the online ticket raid logo, and you'll be able to download a pair of FanFest tickets for free.
Sure.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, now we only have a limited number, so...
Okay.
There you go. So you're saying it's a limited number.
Yeah, no, so I have my computer open here.
And what's
my
happening?
Jesus, see,
Coach, get it together.
I'm pulling the curtain back here. When the camera comes to me, behind me is the picture of Connor.
It's the picture of Connor. I hung one up, too.
It's a professional show, Coach. Get it together, please.
By the way, one of the pictures of Connor behind Jamie. Can you see that on the YouTube broadcast over Jamie's shoulder?
Yeah.
This is Connor in Mexico.
Does he have two buttons buttoned?
I don't even know.
I don't think
doing.
He has any buttons buttoned.
No.
He's posing, though... Like Chrissy Teigen or something. I mean, like from 10 years ago.
Pay me like one of your French girls.
Yes, I mean, he really is. It's like, I don't even know what it is.
Discovering Connor's Instagram today was something.
We may or may not, Pat, direct people to Connor's Instagram so they can check out the pictures for themselves.
It's horrifying.
And flood them.
Here's the problem. I think in his mind, he's Mr. Steal Your Girl, but in our mind, it's Mr. Steal Your Husband.
I mean, it's like these pictures, it really... leaning that way.
So heavy Chevy on our YouTube channel just isolated the picture.
Hey, why would Connor give us so much material when he was away?
Connor is... I bet you he's up at the beach streaming 97.5 The Fanatic.
I'll tell you what, if Ryan's back there and he's listening to this,
Ryan,
I'm sure he is, this is how you do it.
So you're right? Telling Ryan to do this when he gets back to Arizona State.
Connor's off. He's on vacation, but he's still giving us gold.
See?
From 4,000 miles away, he's giving us gold.
Hey, it's FanFest is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, the official hotel partner and after party of 97.5, the Fanatics FanFest 2021. You got to be 21 to enter FanFest. You know what Connor's going to think? He's going to start saying he gets treated better on the Mike Missinelli show. And he will be.
Well, he dresses like that on the Mike Messinelli show.
And he will be the first person ever to say that.
Is he a homie?
In the history of the Fanatic. He will be the one to say that. So he will be the one to say that. Wow. All right, let's see here. The NBA season could end tonight in Milwaukee. Let me take a big shovel of dirt and put it right on the grave. Good riddance, 2021 NBA season. Because I don't care what Jamie Lynch says. J-E-L. I don't care what he says. You will always be a bad memory for me.
Yeah.
I do not deny that. I do not. This is the 2021 season will always be a heaping pile of steaming dog poop to me.
Why not human?
It will never be something that I look at and say, well, they were the number one seed. They were the number one seed, baby. No. Nothing. The 2021 season, dead, buried, and I hope it ends tonight. Because if it goes to a game seven, I'm going to say, one thing I will say whenever a finals goes to a game seven, I always say both teams were vulnerable. When I see a seven-game final, I always think, okay, both teams were potentially there for the taking. And it just makes me think more about the Sixers and this wasted opportunity. Do you realize we could be preparing tonight for game six here in Philadelphia? This game could be here tonight. And because the Suns would have had home court, this game could have been here tonight. We could have been ready for a parade coming up on Thursday or Friday. And I'm pissed about it, and I want this season over, Bob. Well,
you could have said it last year or the year before or the 38 past seasons. We could say this, that, yeah, let's end this NBA season because the Sixers are nowhere to be found when it comes championship time. It's... Yeah, opportunity lost. Yeah, Chris Paul playing with a hurt body through all this. You know, you Drew Holiday. That I'll tell you the one thing that kind of gets me most.
That would be a good guy to go acquire.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Ben Simmons and, you know, time has come and got to get rid of him and all that. And I hear it and I understand the reaction to it. I do. Drew Holiday's in his 10th or 11th year in the NBA. And he's finally showing that he's one of the best point guards in the league. Does it just take maybe a little patience to figure it all out?
Okay.
Don't you dare, Bob. Okay, don't Bob, you dare.
The thing is, though, Bob.
I don't know. I'm Bob, asking a question.
You've forgotten more about the NBA than I know. But I will tell you this. I can't have patience for 11 years. I can't, like, that doesn't even cross my, that can't happen.
What number team is this for Drew? And I'm not saying
third,
that.
Yeah, third or 13. Third.
So yes, it's rare that you get that much patience with
one
team.
I know, isn't it weird? I don't know if this is in the show sheet for today. I forget. But I think I put something together about Chris Paul and Drew Holiday, which Coach totally ignored, which he does. Look at how many years those two point guards have been in the NBA. And they're both looking to get their first title.
It's probably like 22 combined years.
It is.
Probably 23 even.
More. Like, Holiday's like 10 or 11 years. I was shocked at that.
Yeah, but Chris Paul's probably close to 15 now.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, oh, you got to ride out Ben Simmons. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's kind
no, but
of,
you're,
when you go back, like this has been the argument before, Michael Jordan didn't win his until his sixth year, and LeBron and all of
Shaq
that,
and
you
Kobe.
Know, it all goes.
Shaq, really.
Yeah, I mean...
LeBron, I mean, all of them.
Thing.
Right.
Nobody wins it, really, with their first team, it seems like. Hardly anymore.
Well, I mean, this is why I've, you know, prior to this year, just been like, all right, everybody relax. They're ahead of schedule, because historically...
They're no longer there ahead of schedule.
They're just... This past year was when Joel Embiid arrived at a championship realistic expectation. But before that, they were ahead of schedule. So not that it didn't disappoint me, but it was they're doing pretty well, because historically it's a grown man league and it takes guys till their prime and then some to get over the hump. But to make you feel a little bit better, John,
yes,
hindsight being 2020, watching the NBA finals and the Eastern Conference finals, the Sixers weren't getting past the Bucks. I think they would
really believe that.
Yeah, kind of. I
even with home court. Well, home court didn't matter against the Hawks, so why would it matter?
Yeah, I don't think the Bucks had to go through their travails and, you know, notches in the belt and all that to get to where they are now. I don't think they were going to get past the Bucks.
Hey, don't overpay for glasses, Jamie. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal; it's America's best deal. Book your exam online today, so you can go get yourself even some more new glasses. and check that out. Okay, I was pulling up my Parks Casino Sportsbook app a little bit earlier for tonight. I do not believe the Bucks will waste this opportunity. In fact, I'm thinking lopsided.
Yeah. I thought Phoenix was playing the best basketball in the NBA at the start of the playoffs and carried that through.
The first two games of the series.
Yeah. Milwaukee just has this thing where they feel you out the first two games of the series, and you have to give Budenholzer some credit here.
Oh, jeez.
He's made some adjustments that have really worked. They've done a decent job of... Chris Paul wasn't turning the ball over at all during the playoffs before, at all. And he combined for 9 in a two-game stretch there. I think
minus
Phoenix...
4.5 tonight.
Yeah, I think Phoenix gives it a shot tonight.
All over it.
But, yeah, I don't...
I think it's going to
be interesting.
Tonight. How about 65,000 to 70,000 people, Pat?
I saw that.
Cleared the... For the party zone.
Yeah, what do they call it?
Deer Park.
Deer Park.
That's good.
Sponsored
water.
By Deer Park?
I don't know if it is. It should be.
That would be natural.
I think that would be smart.
Part of me is like impressed, obviously, but then part of me goes like, you guys have like the Packers, like you're probably used to winning. I'm a little surprised, I guess.
Well, this is Milwaukee.
It is Milwaukee. They don't have a lot going
different
on
than other Green Bay.
Brats and whatnot, but like I don't know.
Cheese? They got cheese.
They got cheese. You're right.
Now they got beer.
Now Jamie's hungry.
Yeah, brats, beer, cheese, and beer.
Brats, cheese,
sounds
beer.
Like heaven.
Jamie's done. Now you've distracted him.
Give me some lederhosen and some wenches bringing me a tall pint.
There's 3.5 hours of the show left, Pat.
I'm sorry. I'm gone.
Let's food and beer. Bob's distracted now. Now you're thinking beer.
Bob was distracted when we put Connor's picture up.
Yeah, it's really Connor's picture causing quite the stir. By the way, Jamie, I channeled you yesterday. I sent you a text. I channeled and I decided to have an IPA yesterday.
You know what? Your picture made me want a beer.
By the way,
because I was outside, it was hot. That looked glorious.
My daughter said, "That is the dad. That's the best picture you've maybe ever taken." Like she said,
the sunlight was like hitting
the
sunlight, it. The condensation.
Drizzle.
It looked like the best beer ever."
And that's what she said, "Dad, you because she says you suck at taking pictures on social media."
I got into the wine beer. Sunday night, or I would have joined you.
Yes,
beer always pictures well. It's very photographic.
It is a...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You're never going to go wrong taking a picture of a beer.
I don't know. I thought it looked yucky.
Oh, you didn't want
you're
it. Because, Pat, you don't know. Pat's smart. He does not drink. Pat will probably...
Look like pee.
Pat, you may...
You're not even in the mug club. What
Pat,
do you know?
If you die first, we're going to laugh at you, though.
Yeah, I probably will.
We enjoyed beer and alcohol, and you didn't, and...
Your healthy liver.
I don't think it's healthy at all.
No, because of the sugar, his liver will be trash.
Yeah, I think I have two more good years left. And then that's it. Then I check out.
Coach, think about that next contract, please. Could you just think, let's not go long term. The official sports book partner of the Real Philly Sports Fan, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Follow along at Parks Sportsbook on Twitter. You got to be 21. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Not wishing any ill will there, Pat. Just hoping that thing is that doesn't happen. The early part of the season could create an opportunity for another team in the NFC East to be hampered. We'll get to that next on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks for getting up early with us. Thank you for streaming us all day long. Right through the John Kincaid Show, Cuz Radio, into Mike Missanelli Show, straight into Devon Givens and more. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic, and we appreciate you being a part of our family. And the more time you spend with us, we love it. Those of you taking us on your beach vacations, too, absolutely. We love that, too. Always stream on the app. You can do that anytime that you wish. I brought it up before. I want to respond to a couple things on from our YouTube crew. I do not understand the show that Mr. Snuffy listens to. But I think Mr. Snuffy needs to be checked for CTE. I really do.
Fleas?
He says, Hicks? He says, wait, John hates on emojis but still takes pictures of his beers. Mr. Snuffy, when have I hated on emojis? LOL is not emojis. I'm all for a good emoji. If there's a good emoji to use, I don't use many of them.
I love them.
But Jamie loves them, but you don't overuse them.
No.
But I mean, in a text message.
You can't bastardize them.
Yeah, you don't use them too much.
When you use an emoji, it's got to count.
Right. And I mean, like, I'm not into too much emojis, but I've never had a problem with emojis. I have a problem with grown men and LOL.
I got hit with a condescending LMAO the other day. Why? And I saw red.
Or pink, like your hat.
Yeah. No, this is a reddish. It's more red than pink.
Stick your piety up your ass. Not to people who are shade blind, but it's all right.
It's more red than pink. We were having it was the discussion about the Philadelphia fans and the superstar town.
Okay, yes, yes, yes.
And he ended the sentence with an LMAO.
Well, he was
like a bitch.
Does that mean he's having fun?
No. Okay, it's the condescending.
Contact? Oh.
Yeah, and I went, are you really laughing your ass off right now? And I didn't get a response.
Those
are the worst.
Mr. Snuffy, too. I take a picture of a beer. I don't post it.
No, you sent it to me.
I sent it in a text to Jamie and to our group text to say, I follow Jamie's lead. And by the way, I'll give him a shout out. We'd love to have them as an advertiser. Iron Hill, right across around the corner from my
I'm a Mug Club member.
And I had the Philly Special. I think it was called Philly Special.
Nice. Yeah, they do a good job naming
delicious.
Their beers.
It was delicious. Absolutely awesome. So I took a picture for that. I'm not posting it for you, Mr. Snuffy, but Mr. Snuffy, it is a great radio show. Well, no. How about it's a very good radio show? Please listen to the show. It actually is better if you like it. Right, Pat? It's a better show when you listen to it.
I'm worried now that he will listen to it and he won't like it and he'll go somewhere else. So just look, Snuffy, do what you do, man.
Come on, Snuff. I wonder if I don't want Snuff to if he you know he had a some got knocked in the head or something. He
There's a difference between hearing and listening. Like yesterday when I was talking about
this white man can't jump,
and somebody says, "Well, Bob, don't be an idiot. Autism isn't caused by vaccination." And I was like, "Oh my god, dude! If you're not going to listen, don't comment."
Correct.
Because I didn't say that at all.
It's one of the great movie scenes. I know you hear Jimmy, but are you listening to Jimmy?
Yeah,
that's a great one. Great one.
It's a great scene with Woody and.
It is.
Or do I have that backwards?
No, with.
Yeah, you're listening backwards. To Jimmy, but do you hear Jimmy?
Correct. Saquon Barkley. You guys fans?
Not a fan.
Yeah, not a fan, but Saquon Barkley.
If he was on my team, I'd take a bullet for him.
I think a little. I need to see more.
I wish he was on your team.
Yeah, a little more. Saquon Barkley may not be ready for the start of the season. There is a chance he could miss, according to the New York Daily News, he could miss the first four games, depending on how quickly he's able to come back. If he missed the first month, it might not affect the Giants that negatively, though, because the early part of their schedule is their easiest. Denver, at Washington, Atlanta at home, at New Orleans. I'm believing if the Eagles are going to make some noise in the NFC East, I think they're going to need a little help. So I brought this up to one of my buddies yesterday, and he goes, why are you worried about the Giants? Why do you even care about the Giants? You're not worried about the Giants, are you? You only got to worry about Dallas. I don't know. Am I overvaluing that I think the Giants could be a team that is great? Like, their offense could be the best in the division, maybe.
People are kind of forgetting that Kenny Golladay got added to their team. Who's a tremendous wide receiver when healthy.
It was horrible on my fantasy team last year.
I hear you, Bob. I had him as well.
Grudge. Bob, is it a grudge? Because there you go. I mean,
it all comes down to Daniel Jones, though. Like, he had a 24-game streak of having a turnover in every game.
Oh, he's a turnover machine.
Yes. He kind of righted it a little towards the end of last year, but, like, Daniel Jones doesn't send shivers down my spine. But they'll be a good team. I think every team in this division's got a shot to win it.
I think that offense could be greatly improved, though.
Oh, big time, with Saquon and Kenny Golladay added to it.
I looked at their offensive line, though. The Eagles' offensive line should, if healthy, big if.
I know.
I'm saying that for Mr. Snuffy. If the Eagles' offensive line is healthy, I think that could be the best offensive line in the division.
Yeah, it could be. Dallas was a few years ago, but because of retirements and injuries and all that stuff, it's kind of fallen. The Giants, it's been their Achilles heel since I don't know how long. That offensive line, they never addressed it. They had injuries. It's been horrible. They've drafted poorly on their offensive line. Worried about the Giants? Here's how I look at it. When you're the Eagles and the way they are right now, I'm not even looking at other teams in the division. You have to worry so much about yourself. Okay. If the Eagles were a good team, yeah, then I look at other teams in the division. I say, oh, how do they match up? Is this going to be a problem? But honest to God, this year with this team, my sole focus is how's the quarterback? How's the coaching? What is this team? Come hell or high water, I don't really care about other teams in the division right now.
Pat, I'm exactly the opposite of Bob on this. When my team isn't that good, I'm spending more time looking at the other teams in the division, thinking, how can they open the door for my team to hang around? When my team is good, I don't give a flip what the other teams are because I think I'm better than them. I look at it differently the way I analyze it.
Yeah, I'm more you when the teams are good. When the teams are bad,
so you're not paying that much attention?
I'm not paying that much attention. I'm really just sitting there hate watching my squad.
Will you do retro? If the Eagles are... Let's say the Eagles are 3-3 after six. Will you then do retro, go, wait a minute now, maybe we can be in this thing? Will you change your tune?
And then,
no. So you won't?
No, I'm not going to fall for Lucy holding the football. It's not going to happen.
You don't get suckered in on that.
I can't. It's happened too many times.
He will get suckered in?
I'm not going to get suckered in. You don't know me. You don't know my life.
I do.
Who are you?
Don't kid yourself.
Who are you, Tony?
I'm trying to help you.
You're not trying to help me. You're trying to troll
yourself.
Me.
Don't kid yourself.
I'm not going to get sucked in.
Yeah. The Eagles win in Atlanta week one, and they come back the next week. And who do they have week two here? San Fran or whatever?
You don't even know. You don't even know football.
I know. Whatever. You're all in.
I looked yesterday, and I said the Eagles' offensive line is again, you can't assume health, especially with this crew, because this offensive line has been banged up constantly.
And this medical staff.
Exactly. But the Eagles' offensive line should be the best in the division.
If they're healthy, again, I think they're one of the best in football. I mean, we'll see what happens.
I'm not going that far right
now. Well, Dallas isn't what they used to be. There's some good lines out there, but they have a Hall of Fame center, and when healthy, an all-pro right guard and right tackle. Jordan Mailata is an emerging tackle, and I think Landon Dickerson, if he's healthy, is going to beat out, say, Amalu, which I think will be an upgrade. So I see a lot of potential with this line.
If he beats out, say, Amalu, think about the depth they have, too. Because then they have Say Amalu, who started a ton of games.
That'd be best news ever.
It would be incredible. I mean, think about the mammoth men on the left side of that line. If you have Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mailata lining up.
I'm just being honest, though. As I looked at it, I'm saying to myself, this is going to be a rough takeoff to 2021. I'm looking at the schedule.
Atlanta's winnable.
You don't win that Atlanta game?
Yeah. You got to win that one.
It could start to get.
Is it must win? 6-1-0, 6-3-2.
It's a must win game. What, must win to win 5 or 6?
Get my over 6.5.
We talked about it. We're going to be in Vegas for what?
Week 8, isn't it?
8, so it'll be their 7th game. They'll have played 6 when we go to Vegas, I believe.
They play 6?
Where are you going to be? We looked at the schedule we didn't do the win-loss thing, but
no.
It's tough early going, and you just don't know what you have. You don't really know what you have. You have Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, and we're going to get into a little bit more of it later, but you just don't know.
Hey, you may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose our friends from Bradford White. They will take great, great care of you. Beers with Bob's got a new home starting next week, right?
Yeah. Tomorrow night we'll be here, me and Andrew, during the normal thing, 6 to 7. Then the next week we're going to be at Live Casino and Hotel. Right down
having
there
the time of his life.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Do you know they're the official hotel partner, not only at Beers with Bob, but the after party of 97.5, the Fanatics Fan Fest 2021. That is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I've had people now sending me pictures of FanFest that a few people have DM'd me pictures of them standing in front of like a coach. It looks like a postcard or like a red carpet thing where people pose in front of a
step and repeat. Taken. They call that
the what?
Step and repeat.
I don't know that.
Yeah, like when the red carpet like line up and you have the background.
It has the background of 97.5 Fanatics Fan Fest. So, Coach, there's like a photo booth or something.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different areas that you can do, like the selfie zone.
Okay.
And when
that's Connor's favorite zone.
Yes.
When you walk in, and we have kind of the receiving line of all of our hosts and everybody, there is a huge FanFest fanatic step and repeat there that you can take pictures in front of, too.
Okay, I was asking a question, though, when it came up during the break of Taurus Connor's picture from Mexico. Who took the picture?
Hey, bro, my pecs are really popping. The sun's setting. Can you get my pec real quick?
That's the best part. We are all 1,000% confident it was not a female.
No.
Oh, no. No, that's a...
He put the timer on the phone. No. He asked his buddy.
Or did the... as I'm trying to figure out is here, you're taking that picture. It might have been a female that took the picture. Because what other person would have told him to pose like that? I mean...
Like a bitch.
I don't think that would have been a... I don't think one of his bros is saying that to him.
Unless his bros are all like-minded.
We shouldn't judge his lifestyle, all right? If that's the lifestyle he wants to live.
I'm waiting to see the Banaka, like the spray.
In Dumb and Dumber, where he does it outwards.
Exactly.
I want to see him wear that to FanFest.
He's worn it here.
Don't try him. He will.
But, Coach, could we arrange, is there space for a Connor photo booth to be able to...
Yeah, we're gonna put him over at the beach.
Put him over at the beach.
Yeah, with his shirt on.
Connor could be the lifeguard. There's a lifeguard stand, right?
There is, and Connor's going to be doing free chest waxing, too, over at the beach.
What's this guy's deal?
Connor.
What a loser! In Cooney's Corner, Bob's feeling a little envious today, I think.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Mike Budenholzer.
Oh, jeez.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's going to work for
you. Drew Holiday. PJ Tucker.
Oh, jeez.
These guys are all going to become NBA world champions.
Chris Middleton, don't forget.
Oh, gosh.
Chris Middleton.
Who some people thought they think Tobias is better than.
It's been 38 years.
Oh, my gosh.
38 years since the Philadelphia 76ers have won an NBA title. I mean, there's so many people in our listening audience that have never seen them win an NBA title. Jamie,
sure.
You were what, one or two?
I am 39 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, think about that. You got the Milwaukee Bucks on the verge of winning an NBA championship.
And if they don't,
then it's the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns. With a player that the Sixers picked, 10th overall, playing a key role for them, and they decided to trade him away. How is this basketball-rich city so inept when it comes to the NBA team?
I'm beyond perplexed, because I always like to watch when a team has a chance to win a championship, just for a point of reference, get to watch it, get to see it. Tonight might be soul-crushing. I don't know that I'll watch. If they get out to a big lead, I don't think I will watch them.
This doesn't hurt me as bad as the Eastern Conference Finals did, because now I'm convinced they weren't going to beat the Bucks. Whereas in the Eastern Conference Finals, I still thought they had a shot. So I can watch this a little easier than I can last round.
They weren't beating anybody with the way Ben Simmons was playing towards the end there. They really weren't. They weren't going to beat anybody.
He turtled up.
He got scared. It was sickening to watch. That was horrible. You can't even call it basketball, because the guy wouldn't shoot the basketball. The guy totally...
So what's in the air down at the Spectrum in the Wells Fargo Center?
I mean,
wait, 38 years and what, 47 years? The two indoor teams stink.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
That's a lot of years.
It's so bad.
Fourth grade and graduating high school.
Jeez.
That's how bad it is. It's terrible. And Pat, the Zamboners, is as Jamie said, they still feel like it was yesterday. The Flyers want to stand like
well,
that.
Well, I mean,
we're all ellised up.
You can't blame the Zamboners, because the organization likes to remind you that, you know, it wasn't so long ago.
This is what we play for. They're showing Bernie Perrant's rings. God's sakes.
Maybe they just need to just tear down the Wells Fargo Center and just start
anew. That's what I'm saying. Maybe start anew.
Yeah. I've never even thought of it, but it hasn't been good since the concerts suck there.
It's a little generic.
Just kidding.
I saw the Black Keys there. They were great.
It's actually nice to see a concert.
The building.
It is. And, you know,
it's very generic.
I didn't really realize it until I went to Madison Square Garden, but
the renovated Madison Square Garden, because before they renovated it, it was kind of generic too. But then I went out to the Staples Center, and I was like, oh, this is what a premier arena is supposed to look like. Man.
Yeah.
That must be nice.
It's just a little generic to me. It looks like it could be anywhere.
Which one? Staples?
No, the Wells Fargo.
Yeah,
it was. How many times has that changed names? Three.
Pleasure Pine View.
First Union,
Wells Fargo. Right.
This is three. This is they're on their third name.
Yeah, and the team won't even call it by its name because
they're renters.
Yeah, they're renters. So if you ever look at it, when the Sixers send out emails or anything, they call it the Center. They won't acknowledge it as Wells Fargo.
They used to call it Wells Fargo Center until Wells Fargo stopped being a sponsor.
See, that's it. There you go.
Yeah. I kind of like the pettiness.
Oh, my gosh.
But it is unbelievable that we're going to watch yet another organization. And look, we can lump it into all of the sports. Tampa Bay winning as many things as they have in baseball, in football, in hockey. You know, now Milwaukee's getting a title, and we're just bereft of titles here in Philadelphia.
Only hope being is that Milwaukee skinned their knees the last 2 years and then figured out how to win. Only hope. Only hope. Hey, the law firm for injured workers is Martin Law. Visit paworkinjury.com to be able to check that out. By the way, the story that Anthony told yesterday about the two grown men.
That's Shush DeMossimo.
At the kids movie. Yeah. Shushing a kid. I'll tell you this much. I wanted to give Anthony a standing ovation.
Look,
you're two dudes, by the way, grown men at a kid's movie. Shut up. Get away. You move your seat. It's a kid's movie, you idiots. And for Anthony, I was applauding him yesterday.
If I had known it was Anthony and Massimo, I never would have shushed.
Wait, what is the story here? So I didn't hear.
These two dudes in their 30s were sitting next to each other, seat by seat, at a kid's movie.
Space Jam?
No. This is a couple years ago.
Oh, whoa.
And he brought Moss and he brought little Anthony to the movies. And they were sitting on each side of him. And little Anthony's, Moss was talking. And was like, oh, wow. Like not talking the whole movie, but
sure,
just saying.
Sure.
And the one guy turned around and went, shh. And so Anthony moved him away from the guy. And then the next time he talked again, the guy turned around, leaned into it and went, shh. And Anthony leaned into him and said,
oh, we can get the audio for you of exactly what he said.
If you do that again, you ever shush my kid again, I'm going to break every bone in your body. I'm like, what kind of, first of all, Pat, you love movies.
I do. And I love kids movies too, because on their side.
Two guys in their 30s going to a kids movie and shushing little kids?
I have no problem with them going to the kids movie.
No. That's fine.
It's,
no, they could go to the movie.
But when you go, you have to have...
It's a kids movie.
That's what you're expecting.
Yeah, that kids. There are going to be kids there who are talking.
And they're
going to
go, oh, Dory!
Yeah.
Dory, Mom! Little
no,
mermaid,
but you get these cinephile nerds who go there who want to see the animation and whatnot. And they,
I mean, seriously.
I mean, grow up, man. Come on.
I love Anthony shaking them down.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Could you have seen Anthony throwing down?
100%.
Oh, my God.
We're currently getting the audio of exactly what was said.
There you go.
Now, by the way, OB tweets in, we forgot the Core State Center. They're on their fourth
name. They're on their fourth name.
That's right.
Was the Core State the first name?
I believe it was.
Was first, yes.
I think Core State was first.
And then...
First Union.
Then Wachovia.
Then Wells Fargo.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, time is of the essence, you say, for the Phillies,
yeah.
Jamie Quickly.
Don't sit on your hands. Don't wait for the market to develop. Go out and get somebody. This division could come down to a game or two very easily. You know, I know you need a trade partner and the other team has to be willing, but be the aggressor here. Set the market. Go for it. Go get a pitcher now. Like, don't wait. I don't see the point in waiting. It's close enough now where you can find a partner. Go make a move.
A lot of teams. Wait a minute, though. You can't make a team trade.
No, you can't.
And teams know the closer you get to the deadline, the more they're going to get.
Well, a team like the Marlins, Orioles, teams that are already done.
Yeah, but they're going
to
wait.
Yeah, but they're also going to be selling off multiple pieces.
I got you, but they're going to wait and up the price to wait to see, because maybe there could be injuries this week.
Yeah.
That cause more teams to come to the table.
Go get somebody. Don't wait till the deadline.
Why sell early?
Because a lot of teams are going to be selling.
Yeah, but you can't make them sell early.
Sure you can. You offer them a package that they go, oh, wow,
so
look at that.
Make an offer they can't refuse.
Exactly. Put a horse head in their bed.
I don't want to overpay.
Well, let's see what you got, Dombrowski. Go put a horse head in somebody's bed.
I don't want to overpay for a 47 and 45 team. that was better last year than they are right now.
How did Hamels look the other day? Did we ever hear any reports?
Mixed reviews.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like baseball.
I didn't see much. He hit 91 as high as. He had apparently some movement, but his location was off.
On MLB Network, the one insider said that if he threw like that, if there was anything anybody was panting over, he'd already have a deal.
Yeah.
They would have.
Location is key
for
him.
He would have had a deal. So, by the way, you guys said that, and Matt Moore went out on Friday and
pitched a good game.
He's been a good game.
Yeah.
And by the way, since the break, he's been good. So hopefully he can do another one tonight.
He's your ace.
Eventually,
John,
he'll
you're
an ace.
Idiot, you're doing
Matt
on
Moore.
Baseball.
No,
you can't do that one.
He'll eventually become Matt Moore.
All right. Ryan, our guest intern from Arizona State, came up with an excellent discussion point. And it will be center stage next. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 a.m. hour, the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code Fanatic, and I want you on Twitter to follow along at Parks Sportsbook, Parks with an X. You can get tips and pointers every single day, some special offers, so check that on out. We appreciate them being a part of it. Yes, earlier in the show today, we told you that Anthony was telling the story about the gentleman that was sitting in front of him at the kids' movie, and let's just say it got a little tense hearing the story.
I will break every bone in your body, both ears, at the same time, okay? But I'm going to hurt you, too.
Yes.
I'm going to hurt you like you've never been hurt before.
I absolutely, as a father, can absolutely say, do not. You don't shush a kid in a kid's movie when you're two grown-ups going to a kid's movie. And I'm guessing that those are two guys in their 30s who've never reproduced, would be my guess.
Wow.
That they're there. No, I'm guessing two dudes going to a movie in their 30s together, they're probably two guys who are not. They're not parents, because parents understand.
They're probably built like me and Connor, too, where they were probably terrified when Anthony said that.
You can't ask a 3- and 4-year-olds to be quiet at a kid's movie. You can't be shushing them. They don't understand. They see giant pictures of superheroes and cartoons.
It's time for you to shut the f*** up.
Seriously, leave the kids alone or don't go to kids' movies.
Yeah, it seems pretty simple.
Your ass! No, you don't say that at a kid's movie.
Good. Stick your piety up your ass.
If you had any balls, you would say to the father, hey, can you ask your kids to... You don't talk to a kid.
You don't talk to anybody else's
kid. Yeah, well, get up and move.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, get up and move.
The movie wasn't sold out. Get up and move.
Correct.
Shagaloons.
Again, we give credit to Ryan Schwager, our guest intern this week from Arizona State. Brought up a point of view, and I said, this is really worth discussing on the show. Zach Ertz is about to embark on a really awkward week. It's time to come back to the Eagles. It seems strange for the guy who scored the biggest touchdown in franchise history and one of my most beloved players of all time, hands down. But when he rolls into camp next week, it's going to be awkward. It's going to seem odd. Because he let it be known to everybody that he wanted out. But the problem was, there were 31 other teams that said, nah, we're good. You're not worth what you're being paid. When 31 other franchises all say, yeah, nah, that's good. We're not paying you what the Eagles thought you would be worth this year. That's on Zach Ertz. That's not on anybody else. It's on Zach Ertz. Howie Roseman fielded offers and could not get any kind of market value. Howie spoke glowingly of Ertz and says how much that the team would love having him back and wasn't going to just give him away. But the question posed, do you want a guy back who didn't want you? Do you want a guy back who wanted out? And also, how does that go with your teammates? How does that play with the guys who are ready to bleed green? How does it play with the fans? Do the fans say, that's cool, Zach. You didn't want to be a part of us anymore. We get it. We understand it. More importantly, is Zach Ertz finally going to get back to a point where somebody would consider paying him what he's being paid? There are so many questions, but to me, the biggest one is, I'm just shocked that it ever came to this for the end of Zach Ertz's Philadelphia career. I'm floored because he is truly, to me, one of the greatest Eagles of all time. And that's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour. You know Bob Cooney. You know Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan. Do you know the coach, Eric Camille? Do you know Heavy Chevy? Mike is producing the show. Do you know that Tom is in for Connor? And we've got our guest intern, Ryan. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I never, Jamie, in a million years would have thought Zach Ertz's Eagles career would end up awkward.
Yeah, it's pretty awkward.
Nobody wanted him.
And not for the price the Eagles were asking for. No. I'm sure somebody would have taken him for a sixth-round pick or something.
No, not for that money. Was the Adam Schefter said on this show it's a money.
Yeah,
but wanted to pay him $8 million.
Well, the Eagles can always pick up some of that.
Yeah,
well, you know, there's ways around it. If
that's
it,
giving him away, then.
Well, and Schefter said on our airwaves they weren't going to give him away.
They weren't going to give him away.
Well, that's
giving him away. You're paying.
That's fine. Then you're assuming he's going to be a model professional student athlete here, right?
What do you expect?
He was pretty mopey last year.
He was sulky.
I'm always on the side of the player when it comes to getting their money. But again, if Zach Ertz was to be made a free agent, I don't think anybody's paying him $8.5-9 million a year
He had a contract for 2020. He had a contract for 2021.
Yeah, I think
what are you talking about getting his money?
He wants guaranteed money.
Well, then BS. How about performing to get your guaranteed
money? Well, as an all-time great, you know, look, I would want guaranteed money too.
Lifetime Achievement Award contracts suck. That sucks for the team, and it's what.
Yeah, but it doesn't suck for Zach. And so if I'm Zach, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. I'm going, I peed blood for this team. I scored one of the biggest touchdowns in team history. I love this city. I've given back to this city. Can't you just guarantee me some more money?
Go into last year, he had hand.
Yeah, like.
I mean, he's coming off a year where he had 88
left on his deal.
Yeah, but it's about
the year.
And he was smart. He's riding his hot hand.
Yeah, but that sets a horrible precedent for your team if you're ripping up contracts with 2 years to go.
Yeah, but they do it all the time. They kick the can all the time.
Wait a minute. Who do they do it for?
Brandon Brooks got it done. Lane Johnson got it done.
Guys who are performing at a high level.
Brandon Graham.
Going into last year, he was.
I believe 2019 you started to see some of the, cracks.
88 catches.
It was.
And, you know, that's.
It was a 30 catch decline. Catch decline?
I didn't go into last year. Well, you're coming off a record season.
No, I said that.
Yeah. I didn't go into last season thinking Zach Ertz was a problem at all.
Oh, I didn't either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Not a problem. But the thing is, I don't renegotiate a deal where, by the way, he was being paid well, where he has 2 years left in his deal. That screws up your franchise. If he had had 100 catch year last year and 90 catch year last year, they would have re-signed Zach Ertz. They would have torn up the last year, made it more palatable to them, and they would have wanted him. It's never worked out here since they got Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, going into last year, you kind of thought that they probably had one of the best tight end tandems in football. I mean, you could argue Tampa Bay with Gronk and O.J. Howard, but they were up there, and it just kind of seemed like he was in a bad mood because he didn't get the contract extension. I wouldn't have had a problem if they guaranteed his money last year or they extended him this time a year ago because he was coming off a really good year. But I'm torn because I think he deserves his money, but at the same time, I'm with you. They've kicked the can with so many guys that they got into this cap hell because of contracts like we're talking about with Zach Ertz, like just giving them a nostalgic contract.
Okay,
I'm torn on it.
Is he worth $8 million this year?
No.
No one in the NFL thinks he is. Because nobody wanted it. So to me, he's getting his money. He's getting more money than he's worth in 2021.
It's not guaranteed, to my knowledge.
Well, I don't think they're cutting him. I think they're going.
Well, you never know. It's the NFL.
I don't believe they're going to send. And here's where Zach Ertz, I think, has a little bit of leverage. I don't think the Eagles want to put Zach Ertz out on the corner like it's recycle day. I think that would look bad on the Eagles.
Well, he's at the point, contract-wise, sorry, Bob, where his dead cap money is less than his actual salary cap number. And there was an out after last year. So Zach Ertz is no dummy. I mean, he sees the potential writing on the wall here.
But he wants the $8 million.
He wants guaranteed money.
Yeah, he's going to get his $8 million.
You know, you've said it many times. You're into capitalism.
Yes.
You're all for it. The guy was coming off great years and said, I want this guaranteed for 2 years.
See where
it's something that it's a practice that this team has done before. Jamie gave us a couple examples. We can go through the years. They've done it a lot. So I think he was just looking for that. And that's why I think last year, air quotes, was a mopey year for him. He's been here and seen other guys get done what he was asking for.
Okay, let's say I got 2 years left on my contract at 97.5. And I'm feeling like really, really good about where I'm at. And I go to Joe Bell and say, Joe Bell, rip up my contract and write me a new one now. And I don't get it. And I come to work and I'm mopey and I don't perform and I don't put the full effort into work. That's completely unprofessional and completely childish. And to me, it's not being a good teammate. That to me is like, we accept it in sports. We accept unprofessionalism as, well, he has every right to do that. No, you don't. You signed a damn contract. You agreed at the time you're going to be a professional. And I don't understand it.
Okay,
I don't understand why you're doing that.
Let's say your contract is not ripped up and they say, no, you're going to play out the end of this. But then you just saw me and Bob re-up for 5 years. And they kick some money down the road for us.
Am I going to come to work?
You're a human being.
Yeah, but guess what? I may be pissed off, but it would never reflect in my work. Ever would it reflect in my work.
Well, it might not with Zach Ertz.
Because it did.
This year.
But it did last year.
Well,
and it screwed them
over. It's human nature.
No, it's not.
To watch your other teammates get done that same service.
Guess what?
When I went out there and I'm bringing it up again because he peed blood. Like, he had a lacerated kidney, and he played through it.
And I love him.
Yeah.
I love him, but guess what?
So why aren't I entitled to it?
If it reflects in your performance at work, it's completely unprofessional.
Well, he also lost a step, and he also had the worst quarterback in the league last year. So, I mean, there's contributing factors to all of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I said it on this air, on these airwaves after, I forget which game it was, early on in the season. He looked mopey out there.
He did. Everybody was saying that.
He got in a fight with Howie.
Yeah, if he was or wasn't, I mean, that's just an outsider looking in on a TV set and saying he looked mopey. It could have been. I kind of agree with Jamie. Like, that's human nature, whether you can allow it or not. Sometimes those things come into play. And, you know, say if you came in on the circumstances that we just talked about, hypothetical circumstances, and we noticed it, but you didn't think it. Like, say Jamie and I are walking the hallway, like, man, John's just hasn't been himself. Sometimes you can't tell about yourself what others may see. Maybe Zach Ertz didn't know that he was moping and others saw it. I don't know.
I mean, numerous writers wrote about it. That covered the Eagles wrote about that he wasn't himself.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
It certainly looked that way.
So he was letting it be exposed. And Pat, that's it. We accept things out of athletes that we do not accept out of others. You would not be accepted. This wouldn't be accepted in any other line of work.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't like your comparison because comparing what we do or anybody does to a professional athlete, it's apples and oranges. Like, that is the norm in their profession. That's the complete norm. Like, our norm is getting to leave at 10 a.m. Most people don't have that luxury, right? That's our norm. So their norm is holding out, trying to get as much money as possible, guaranteed contracts like that. Now, I don't like how he handled it last year, but what he wanted, I think, is the norm of, I signed a contract, but we saw it with T.O. T.O. signed a 5-year deal, and after year one, he said, I want more money.
I've never critiqued an athlete who wanted, in the NFL, who wanted to hold out when they didn't have a contract or when they were entering into the last year of a contract and they were a performer and didn't want to work without the tightrope. 2 years left on a deal? Absolutely not.
Well, when you have
a
GM...
Never supported it, never do it.
You have a GM that kind of set that precedent. I mean, it goes to what Pat said. That's your norm. So I would have thought it's stupid of Zach Ertz not to try to get a contract when he's seen so many of his teammates already have gotten same thing.
I would absolutely try.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't affect my work. I couldn't let it affect, because I'd be worried about people going, damn, Kincaid's become a slacker. I think Kincaid's unprofessional.
I wouldn't want that to be the case.
We've already said that about you.
Stop it, Pat.
I think he lost a step more than he let it affect it.
Do you think that is?
Yeah, I think he's naturally lost a step.
Do you think that maybe management saw that and that's why they didn't want to renegotiate?
Sure, but again, Lane Johnson's had ankle problems for 3 years now. Brandon Brooks has been hurt three of the last 4 years, and you had no problem re-guaranteeing some of their money. So again, if I'm Zach, I'm going, well, what the hell? Why am I different? I mean, there's levels to this.
Hey, don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. It's not just a better deal. It's America's best. Book your exam online today. If you want a thought on this and you want to get in with us, you can at 610-632-0975. Henry in Wilmington joins us. Henry, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Good morning. How you doing, John?
Good, buddy. What's going on today?
I know I got to be quick. I totally agree with you. If you're going to do the job to your fullest. No matter what your contract, how you're disgruntled, all that crap. You come in, you do it to your best ability. It's business. And that's what these young people, a lot of them don't understand. Oh, such and such got a contract. Such and such got a contract. That has nothing to do with you and what you're supposed to do. Go do your job. Because if he would have did it, he probably would have got extended or he would be at the coach like he really wants to.
And I got
to
tell you, Henry, if it was me and I was Zach Ertz, I absolutely, behind the scenes, would be... I don't have any issue with him going to Howie Roseman, going to Jeffrey Lurie, his agent doing it, and trying to get his deal when he sees how they do business. But if you come to work, you're a grumpy Gus because you're not getting your way, and you've got 2 years left on a deal, to me, shut up and go to work.
Great cash, homie.
You signed a deal. What does your name mean? What does it mean? And by the way...
Well, what does it mean to the owners?
Guess what? That is collectively bargained, Jamie.
Well,
the NFL Players
Association sucks.
Well, then guess what? That is on the NFL Players Association. Don't blame the owners and the players. Make an arrangement. They literally sit across the table for years negotiating the deal and the terms of their employment. Do not sign a deal, collectively bargain, which is supposed to be in good faith, and then sit and bitch and complain about the deal that you signed to work under. The owners are allowed to use those terms because you agree to it.
Well, I think the NFLPA sucks. That's a different argument for another day. But like,
so don't blame the owners for that.
I mean, but I get why he would want some more guaranteed money.
I do too. But when it affects your on-field performance.
But like, I don't think he set out to go, all right, well, they're not paying me, so screw this season. I don't think Zach Ertz is that type of guy. I think much more realistically, it's just that he lost a step and he had a horrible offense and a horrible offensive line and a horrible quarterback last year.
When did he lose the step?
I think going into last year.
That's the point I'm trying to make to you guys. I saw it in 2019.
Yeah, and I'm sure the team saw it too. Like, I get both sides of it, but
I didn't see anything in 2019 that went into 2020 saying, oh my God, Zach Ertz is on the decline. I didn't see it at all.
The first couple games last year, you went, he looks a little slower.
I saw 2018 to 19. I saw not a decline, but I saw he wasn't the same. I didn't think he was the same guy in 19 that he, but 18 was such a high bar.
Oh God, he had 116
an incredible
catches,
high bar.
Yeah.
And 17 was freaking spectacular.
Look, we are speculating. Even if you write it, whatever, it is speculation that he was playing grumpy last year because of the contract. Look, I could go and sit down to Zach Ertz and say that, and he said, no, you know, I was grumpy last year because I realized I lost a step. And all the slants that I ran for Carson Wentz in years past that were 85% successful have now become 50% because I've either lost a step, he's not playing well. That led to my grumpiness on the field. I was dissatisfied with how my body wasn't performing the way I was used to it performing. That could be a part of it. We don't know. We speculate on this, and it could be rightful speculation, but there's probably other avenues there too.
Was last year, the 2020 season, I got to get these years right now. Get it right. The 2020 season, was Joel Embiid a grumpy Gus and a mopey?
100%.
Was that speculation or was that real? Could you see it?
Well,
you
he came out and see, yeah, he also backed it up. Yeah. I'm not having fun playing basketball.
Well, didn't Zach Ertz make the same sort of comments about how he was disgruntled and he was pissed at the Eagles and he thought that he should have a deal?
Well, because he's an all-time great.
Well, I mean, I understand, but like, it's the same.
So don't you get a little more gravitas when you're one of those?
I'll listen to you say, okay, this is what you think you're worth. Then what I would damn well do is go show it. And if the and
well,
and
if he's not capable of showing it anymore,
then that means the Eagles did the right thing.
So if he's going to play, but you could just you could do something as simple as guaranteeing his money for that season. And we don't know. I'm not
they
at the
going to cut him last year.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. All you'd have to do is just guarantee his money. Like, his money became unguaranteed.
No, he wanted a new deal, and that's what's being pointed out by some of the people here in email. He wanted a new deal.
My understanding was he wanted 2 or 3 years more guaranteed.
Yes. No, but he only had a deal for 2 years. He wanted that extended and more guaranteed
I think
money.
He wanted it guaranteed. I'll try and look up the comments that
Pat,
he made.
What do you think?
I'm torn with it because I see both sides of your argument. Like, I really don't want them to still be in cap hell. He proved that he was at least playing at a high level. I think the problem of the situation is they should have traded him before this ever happened. They should have moved on. They should have gotten at the peak of his value after he had that record-setting season. They should have traded him. And now you're in a situation where you have to bring him back because nobody wanted him at that number, and you don't want to give him away. So you're kind of in like Ben Simmons. You're kind of hoping to rehab his value so that you can probably deal him at the deadline for something for more draft capital. That's my whole problem with how this played out. You should have traded him.
That is, and if they had traded him, I sort of believe that Dallas Goedert, they expected to make that an option. That Dallas Goedert would have made that an option.
Jamie brought up here before, I mean, years ago, saying, you know, Zach Ertz might be a guy that, it was before
it was
the
Super Bowl. I think it was Super Bowl year. I said, you know, this might be a guy you look to start trading pretty soon.
Which would have broken my heart.
Exactly.
That year.
Sure.
But it would not have broken my heart the year after.
No. I mean,
which he still had high value.
Incredible value.
It was
value.
His best year.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't blame Ertz for going for what he went for.
Neither do I.
The Eagles, it looks like they made the correct call in not doing it after the year he had last year. I don't know all the contributions as to why he had that type of year. A lot of it, I'm sure, is Carson Wentz.
Some of it could be Wentz, he lost
a step. The coaching, whatever it may be.
The offense sucked every aspect of it.
It did.
I'm excited.
I wonder
he's
what
back.
You expect out of Zach Ertz.
He might come in and be
year.
The model
I'm
teammate.
I'm excited he's back. And I'm hoping it's professional Zach Ertz. And I'm hoping that Zach Ertz kicks Heinie this year.
I'd be shocked if he repeated a quote-unquote mopey performance again.
Has he become best friends with Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Do we know? That's his whole thing, is he becomes best friends with the quarterback.
I haven't seen any of it.
He was like boys with Bradford, and he was best friends with Wentz. So I think that had something to do with it. But yeah, I can't imagine you have as bad of a year as you did last year.
We always rip on the Eagles for what? Bad decisions, Howie made the right decision on this. It's the right decision. It may not be the right PR-wise decision to some fans. It may not
yeah,
be
we'll
the right
see.
PR
was last year a little bit of an anomaly? I mean, seven good, really, really good years. Some, you could argue, great years
great
by
years.
A tight end. You know, maybe that's the threshold right there. You get seven great years, that's all you should expect. Maybe this is it. Maybe he becomes a secondary tight end that gets you 50 catches this year. And to Goddard, 70.
I kept waiting
70.
For it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he catches 65 balls this year.
But doesn't Goddard have to elevate himself to being the one?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have to sign him.
No. Elevate his play.
Oh, yeah.
To where you feel incredibly confident that he's the one.
Well, yeah, I meant you're going to have to. Right. Not particularly.
Not yet.
But he's, you know, they thought he was going to be the tight end of the future, and I haven't seen enough where I'm like, oh, yeah.
And one thing about Goddard, he's got to be available.
Yeah. I mean, he's got big play capabilities,
yeah,
but he's got to be available and he's got to be consistent.
He's got to catch the football. He had so many drops last year.
You look at
the stats and they're fine, but then when you actually watch the games, the amount of drops he had was concerning.
That's got to work. So that is a lively discussion this morning, and hopefully with the Eagles going to camp a week out, hopefully we're going to have plenty of good stories to talk about with this team. And that's one. I don't want to see the Zach Ertz era end on a bad year and bad blood. I want to see it end with Zach Ertz going out high. Even if he leaves the franchise, even if he says, sayonara, I'm going to go out there this year and get 70 catches, and somebody's going to give me a 2-year deal on the free agent market.
Yeah.
I'll applaud you on the way out the door and say, good, go get yours. You're always going to be. He's in the handful of my favorite Eagles.
Yeah.
If you're talking, I can't go five Eagles deep and not not get to Zach Ertz.
And yeah, he's there for most people, yeah.
All right, we got a story on Aaron Nola. So it's Aaron Nola night in the Bronx. And some troubling numbers that may scare you about watching. Aaron Nola is an ace.
Oh, please.
It's John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hey, the Parx Sportsbook app is the official sportsbook partner of the Fanatic Philly sports fans. Bet on everything. Baseball, golf, MMA. Pat will even give you some tips on that. Live in-game play-by-play betting changes everything. The money line on a game constantly changes, and there's no way better way to bet them than the Parx Sportsbook app. You do not have to be there for the first pitch or the opening tip or anything like that to be able to cash in, and you can get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parxcasino.com/PA and use the promo code FANATIC. You can also follow along on Twitter at Parx Sportsbook, and you can get yourself game previews and more and some special bonus offers. The website has all the details that you need. You've got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania. Get in on the fun with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic, and we appreciate you being a part of things. Part of the John Kincaid Show golf tour with Monco Golf and the Valley Forge Convention and Tourism Bureau was our trip out to Bluebell last week, and Jamie with the sleek Bluebell hat, but there's questions about what color that is.
Yeah, you two think pink.
I say pink.
I think it's a light red.
I say salmon more than pink or
well,
or
salmon's
red.
A pink cousin.
I think it's a wild salmon. I think
that's
a
pink you say cousin. Wild salmon, not farm salmon.
Cause, yeah, because farm salmon is pink, but wild salmon's that like reddish pink.
Very okay, good salmon knowledge by you, Pat.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
I did salmon fishing in Alaska. It was awesome.
I bought salmon yesterday. Did.
And there's five types of salmon, and it's sockeye, Atlantic. I can't remember them. He gave us the whole rundown of the fingers, it's easy.
After Jamie bought a salmon farm,
Buddy the fisherman. I'll never forget. It was great.
It's like five times a day where I'll say to Jamie, of course you did. Of course you have. The Kincaids, we're not really big salmon fishermen in
We did a cruise, and it was one of the...
Well, we're not big cruise. Yeah. We're not really big cruise people.
It was awesome.
You know, we went skiing down the Alps, Sean.
Where did you...
The Inner Strait. It's gorgeous.
What was your vacationing, Bob, as a kid? Did you vacation as a kid?
No.
You didn't vacation at all, like ever? Or no. Did not ever?
No.
So you never?
My parents had no
Egan?
Money.
Vacation. I would go to my grandparents' house in upstate New York because they lived on a lake.
Oh,
so it was like
cool.
The Finger Lakes, if anyone's familiar with the Finger Lakes.
Gorgeous up there.
So I would spend a month up there. Now I realize as an adult that my mom just wanted to get rid of me for a month.
Like Skinny Atlas?
No, it was, nobody cares. But it was, then I would go to a hockey camp for a week.
And okay,
fun. It was a waste of money because I saw.
We were just short people growing up, nothing extravagant. This was a family reunion later in life.
See, my siblings and my family would always go, I wasn't a shore house person. We stayed in hotels when I came along. But they used to stay in houses. They would rent, but they would rent a house for the summer.
Well, yeah.
When I was
my grandmom used to do
before
that.
I was, and I got to go for a week.
It actually was affordable at one point.
Yeah, you can
believe it or not.
House.
Yeah,
it used to be affordable.
Now it's highway robbery.
My parents didn't drive. Like, where the hell were we supposed to go? If we were going on a vacation, were we going to take the bus down the shore?
Could go to the corner.
Like, seriously, we didn't do vacation.
Go to the grocery store.
We weren't on a cruise in Alaska fishing for,
yeah,
for
salmon.
So much.
Fishing for the salmon. Can you imagine that?
It was great.
Get Master Jamie's waiters.
He was hanging out with Sarah Palin.
Do you get waiters?
Scott Gomez.
She could see.
Looking over at
and
Russia.
She could see Russia.
She could see Russia, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you, Jamie, get Master Jamie's monogram waiters, please?
It was really funny walking off the cruise ship that day. We got after it because all the cousins were there. And we
so it was a family event.
It was a family reunion, yeah. There was like close to 50 of us. And we're waiting for my sister, waiting for my sister. All of a sudden, she comes walking off the cruise deck, and we're all sitting down there waiting for her. She Ralphs over the side of the railing.
Oh, no. Atta girl. Puke and rally.
All right, let's go salmon fishing. We were laughing so hard.
Could you get 50 coonies on a cruise ship today? A family trip?
There's not 50 coonies.
There really isn't?
No. My mom was an only child. My dad, I told you, my dad was much older, and he was the youngest in his family.
And he was
Actually, my relatives are getting together this weekend. The Cooney side of the family. I think there's probably 12 of us, like including children and stuff. 12 or 15. I don't have much family, no.
All right, name them. None. Go ahead. This will be a good segment. Name all your Cooney members.
By the way, early results on my quick poll here. 140 votes. 98% say red. You two are colorblind.
So this is why I already am. I'm shaded.
Bob has no excuse.
All right, so I have a hat violation today.
You do.
So we get out of the car this morning. John and I get out of the car. I didn't have my key on me, so I had to wait for John to come so he could let me in. So we're standing outside waiting for Ryan to pull up, and I'm standing there, and John says, so Caroline Beasley's coming in today. Now, Caroline Beasley is one of our big, big, big wigs.
Yes.
As the owner, Beasley Media Group.
Yes.
Damn. He said, what's the matter? I said, look at the hat that I'm wearing today. And it's a South Carolina Gamecocks hat.
She will understand your passion for supporting your children. She will love that.
That's what we're going for.
The Beasleys are a family business.
That's what we're hoping
for. And a family atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Coach said,
not a good day to wear the Cox hat, though.
Coach said, get your resume updated. Well, I don't know that it's worse because Jamie's wearing the bimbo shirt.
Yeah, I'd rather be a bimbo than a Cox today. You know what I mean?
He's wearing Pat, is there a violation on either one of them?
I'm trying to decide how quickly I can get home and change and then come back here. If I can make it during
a union win the other night, too.
There you go. You know that Dermatology Associates of Plymouth Meeting is recruiting for alopecia.
Areata.
Clinical trials. Men and women 18 to 65 with current episode of scalp hair loss lasting 6 months can sign up at PlymouthMeetingDermatology.com. And by the way, the emailer does not have it. Does not have it.
Oh, okay.
He's having another issue.
Okay.
But got checked.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Got checked.
That's why it exists.
But I've never heard of someone, though, having a thing where it's some stress-related...
I was going to say stress can cause hair loss. Yeah.
Like,
patchiness.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I never heard
But
that
I just
before.
Know stress can lead to that. Yeah.
Stress is not good.
Oh, I had a full head of hair before kids.
That happened to Roger Maris.
It did?
In the movie 61, they cover it.
Oh, yeah.
He was going bald a little bit because of the stress.
There you go. It's Aaron Nola night in the Bronx. He had a 3.11 ERA in April. And my timeline was flooded with, see? Aaron Nola is an ace. He had a 4.55 ERA in May, which is when we got the lecture from JT Realmuto that if you don't think he's an ace, you don't know baseball. He had a 6 ERA in June, and he has a 6 ERA in July. It's obviously trending in the way wrong direction. The ERA ballooning up, and he's only pitched into the 7th in 18 starts twice. Can the Phillies win a division without more from Aaron Nola? I personally believe he is going to rebound. Do I think he's going to rebound to a 3 ERA that he had in April? Absolutely not. Do I think he's going to rebound more to like 4 or high 3s? I do. I don't know if I have misplaced confidence, but I don't think he's a 6 ERA pitcher. And for the Phillies' sake, I hope he's not. And we'll see it starting tonight. This is important. You got 2 games over 500. You're feeling some momentum. You're coming home to a big homestand, an 8-game homestand after these 2 games. You just won another series. Tonight's critical for Aaron Nola. I want to say one game is that critical, but to go 3 games over would create that, you know, that energy.
I'm with you, John, in the part where you say it is critical. I think it is critical. I really do. I think, you know, he needs to prove not only to the fans but to himself, as I say often, that he can be that guy again, right? That's who he needs to be. And ever since he had that outing, what was it, against the Mets? Where the
10
Phillies,
strikeouts in a row.
10 straight strikeouts. You know, he hasn't been good. He just hasn't been good. And people are talking about that he's looking for the strikeout too much now. And he's, nibble is
the
word.
Well, he's become the nibbler.
That's the word that's following him around so much. maybe he should pitch the contact a little bit more. That's up to him to feel out, to him to figure out. But I don't know if he'll become that guy in April, but he needs to. Otherwise, this team has absolutely no shot.
Six ERA June and July, 4.5 ERA May, 3.1 ERA in April. Okay, play the Price is Right here. I think he's better than the May ERA. I think he's going to pitch from this point on. I think he's going to pitch better than the 4.5 that he did in May.
Yeah, I mean, all we're looking for is maybe a 4.2, a 4.1, and
I'll take a 4 right now because I think with this offense it could work.
Yeah, you're not asking for the world right now because of what Zach Wheeler is giving you and Eflin. At least you have a shot every third day. So yeah, you don't need the world from him. You just need some quality starts. Like, he's just got to string together some quality starts. And it's sad it's gotten to that point, but just go give us 6 innings and, you know, less than 4 earned runs, and we can deal with it.
Tim brings up on our YouTube channel the idea of the spider tack. By the way, he was listed on a graphic on Major League Baseball Network of pitchers who've seen since they started to check.
I've brought it up to Ricky Bowe.
The biggest decline.
2 or 3 times.
Aaron Nola's one of the biggest decline pitchers in baseball.
I don't think that's
in
a coincidence.
ERA since the spider tack.
That's a buzzkill. Well, find a new way to cheat, man. How bad do you want it?
What's been going on with the Yankees with
Garrett Cole's spin rate?
Garrett Cole's coming back.
But he's bounced back now.
Does he find a way to adjust? Or did he find a new way to cheat?
Maybe Nola can ask him tonight.
Yeah, I don't think Garrett Cole got all the way where he was strictly because of something like that. Did it help him? Probably. He has to find another way to find a grip that works for him. But Aaron Nola, Jamie mentioned 6 innings. God, I hate that number. He's the last 13 outings, twice he's pitched more than 6 innings.
It's amazing.
Like that you've got to expect 7 from him or something like that.
Not right now.
No, I hear you, and you're right on that.
He's completed 7 innings twice.
I can't stand it.
In 18 starts.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob thinks this is going to happen this year.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
All right, ready? The three of you, I honest to God, I'm going to say this, and I want your reaction. Ben Simmons is going to be a 76er this year.
I'm more than 50-50 that he will be.
Good luck.
I think the public's
going to
be ugly.
I'm 55-45, he's staying.
I'm like
80-20, he's gone.
I'm not even asking what if you think he stays or not, but what is your reaction in your gut if he returns to this team for next season?
Ew.
Pressure. Immense pressure.
For you, though, do you say, damn, he's back?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe that he gets you Dame Lillard. So I don't believe that deal's happening. Not right now.
Yeah.
I don't think Dame Lillard's being traded.
Yeah, Pat?
I find a hard time believing that he's going to be as bad as he was the last 3 months. So kind of excited to see what he comes back as.
Now that could change
a week into the season if he's still trash.
Sure. And look, I understand for the people crying that it's over and he needs to go. Totally understand it. I hear you. And for those that say you need to keep watching him and let him grow, I hear that too. But I just think it's interesting. If you say he's back, that's why Jamie said, ooh. Think of that. Jamie said, ooh.
And
Jamie,
I've been number one. And I've been a Ben Stan for the last four or five years.
You have been.
Yeah.
And that's my reaction.
But the ooh needs to be a t-shirt too.
Because I don't believe this is a successful situation for him to rehab himself anymore.
And so we go from the extreme of ooh to Pat saying I'm excited to see what he maybe could turn into. To John, I would read you as lukewarm.
I'm lukewarm, but yeah. I also, though, I am not going to be disappointed if he comes back. I will not be in the camp of, oh gosh, we got Ben Simmons back, because I truly believe that guys can work on their game and can get better.
Yeah, and
so I do believe it. It can happen.
It's so weird if you just watch him play pickup games, which I have a million times. When he pulls up and shoots, it's just a different game, and I don't know why he can't do it.
But who's he playing against?
He's pulling up and shooting.
But he's not intimidated by the people he's playing against.
He's not. No, see, I disagree.
Okay.
He's not intimidated by the people who aren't there, and that's fans. That, I'm telling you, Ben Simmons, he goes up against anybody, and I've seen it. I've seen it in practices, in games, in summer league games, whatever. It's not the opponent he's going against. It's the fans' reaction of what happens if he shoots that jump shot.
I think the fans are most of them, at least, I feel like they're going to be supportive of him.
I agree. There are going to be those
people in the stands that are going to boom no matter what. But I think for the most part, if it gets to the point where we all kind of accepted the fact that he's going to be back, I think game one, I think he comes out to a pretty nice ovation.
Very Billy Mumfrey of you guys.
I'll say this.
Do you know Philadelphia sports fans?
No, but they supported him in the midst. The house was burning. And if there was ever a time when the fan base of this town could have turned on Ben Simmons, game five, game seven, they were incredibly supportive.
Yeah.
So
give him an offseason to stew on that.
Now that's the issue. Yeah.
The honeymoon's over.
And you're
on your way to divorce court, like the paperwork's being drawn up.
I brought it up because I wanted to see your guys' gut reaction of I said he was here. My gut reaction if he's here, I don't think it can work here. I just don't. I really don't.
I don't either. I don't even think a little bit.
Do you think Daryl Morey thinks like you do?
Yes.
I don't know. Now, I don't know.
I don't know the man enough to read his mind.
Because I think he's talked to Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but I really read into what Doc Rivers said to us this year when we had him on one time. And I asked him about Ben Simmons. And the way he talked about it, and I've heard it before around the league, that, my God, you watch this guy day to day and you can't believe the things he does. I really wonder if what happened towards the end there in the playoffs and all to them was like, whoa, what the hell was that? And to them, it's more of a hiccup than it is to us who have seen it before.
Here's the only thing I would say is just doing NBA reconnaissance myself. When I brought up the fact is, Joel Embiid's probably said, I'm done with the guy. People in NBA circles that I talk to say they've heard nothing of the sort from anybody that they trust.
Well, yeah, because it just happened at the end of Game 7.
That they don't believe that's the case. That he would go like, you got to get this guy out of here. Get him gone.
I'm not saying he's saying, you got to get him out.
Done with him would mean that.
Let's pretend I'm Joel and you're Doc and you're trying to say, hey, Joel, I can fix him.
Oh, no. I got this.
I'm going, yeah, okay.
Oh, no, but that's different, though.
Yeah, but you're done. At that point...
Being done with him would be, I think, Joel...
Saying it and feeling it are two different things.
He may feel it.
He 100% feels it.
His body language looked like he felt it.
100% feels it. Whether he voices it or not, we don't know.
Well, that's the big difference,
though, right? But I think mentally, he doesn't have any more patience.
I don't mean to derail the conversation, but does anyone know if Joel Embiid's had surgery yet?
I brought that up last week. That's funny you say that.
I haven't heard
about it. Why not? And yeah. I went back and read stories that I did with Jahlil Okafor, who had the same thing. The terminology was exactly the same. Minor meniscus tear. And it took a little while for him to find. They found it. Took a little while for them to get surgery. He got surgery. Missed more time at the end of the season than he thought he was going to. And then missed time at the beginning of the next season because he wasn't fully recovered. Why the hell has surgery not been done?
It should have been done 3 days after the season.
Hopefully we'll hear something. Wait, he's in Margate. So he's a Philly guy. He went to Margate. Hey,
Lucy's lovely this time of year, John.
She just had a birthday.
Did she?
Yeah, like 134 or something like that.
Get your surgery.
Yeah, that's concerning.
And then get on with yourself.
It's a short off season.
It is.
I mean, you're back in camp, what, the last week of September?
If he misses time...
It's not that far away.
If he misses time in training camp or the regular season because he delayed surgery, and I don't know that he did. If that happened, though, that is completely unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
I don't know what's going on.
Hey, Jamie, you said $4,000. Somebody was willing to put their money where their mouth is on an odd team.
Great cash, homie.
An odd team.
Yesterday, Pat's people over at BetMGM took a wager of $4,000 that pays out $500,000 for the Eagles at plus $12,500 to win the Super Bowl.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Okay, let's see if it pays off for them.
They have received 1.2% of tickets, 0.06% of handle.
The Eagles getting 1.6%?
1.2%.
To me is shocking.
Yeah.
That's a high number, but the thing is, and they will tell you at the sports books out there in Vegas that they purposely know, they could tell you the five teams that are going to get five, six teams they're going to get the most action.
Cowboys, Eagles.
Number one, though.
Giants.
Green Bay and Bears. Are
yeah,
big
okay,
ones.
That makes sense.
Green Bay and Bears, always they know they're going to get a lot of traction. Cowboys always get a lot of traction on. The Eagles fall into the next echelon of teams.
Oh, really?
But Cowboys, Bears, Packers, always are the teams. Giants, another big one. Not Jets, Giants.
Yeah, that makes sense.
People load up on the Giants. And in the Johnny-come-latelys, Patriots.
Sure.
You get people with the Patriots. Because just of the consistent double-digit wins for 15 years or 16 years.
So, ago. I mean, the odds are great on the Eagles, but long shot of long shots. I mean, let's be serious.
Okay, you got how much did you get? 500 grand?
4K paid out 500,000.
Okay, if I had just money to burn.
Yeah, if I give you 4K to go bet right now. If you give me,
you gave me
yeah, it's for the purpose
money?
Of this guy that bet this
okay,
yesterday.
I'm betting your money, and
it's funny money. If he's betting the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, that's right. Funny money to him.
But the thing is, he went four
or her.
Grand. He went 4 grand.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah.
How about this? I put $100 every single summer because I never had the Parks Casino Sportsbook app because I wasn't here in the state. I had to have my feet on the ground. So every single summer when I would go to Vegas on our trip, I would put $100 for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. If I thought the Eagles were going to be a playoff team. If I didn't, I didn't. And the year that they won, that was the most exciting thing I've ever... It was the most exciting thing I ever cashed. It's 35-1.
Oof, that's nice.
When I grabbed it.
Mm.
And it was the most exciting ticket I ever cashed. That was like... That whole night was an incredible... amount of things. I had to go through the line multiple times because that way you don't want them to take all the money and then give you the receipt.
So on your trip back to Vegas this year, will you?
I will not put $100 on the Super Bowl.
Who would you put $4,000 on if I handed it to you?
Am I allowed to split?
No.
Okay, so I got to put it on one team?
I'll tell you right now.
I'd have to put it on the Chiefs, right?
I'd put it on the Titans.
That's not bad for value.
Because yeah. of Julio?
Well, they're a good team regardless.
Yeah, their defense is good. Their offense is loaded now, and
by
I think
the
value's there.
I would never do that, by the way. I would hyperventilate before.
Yeah, that
I'd
would kill
put,
me.
Before I'd ever put like I don't wager like that.
No, me either.
But that would make me hyperventilate just walking up and I'd walk back and forth. And sit back down again and go back up to the and then sit back down. Mike from New York would be looking at me at the, and he works at the book. If you ever go to Bellagio Sportsbook, go check out Mike from New York. He's the best. Would say to me, figure it out when you get, figure it out before you get here. Like one time he's like, because he'll go, I've seen you walk halfway up and then you go back. Because I can't bet on baseball.
Chiefs are plus 525.
Then that doesn't even make it worth your while, does it?
I mean, you get 20K, a little over 20K back.
Yeah.
I'm not saying no to that.
I can tell you this. They have an easier path, I think.
Bucks Chiefs, are second, Bills are third, Ravens
Chiefs
fourth.
I'd maybe go Bills.
Bills isn't bad.
Top four
what
are
is
AFC
the Bills
teams.
The Bills on this CBS site are plus 1,300.
Okay, that
Rams plus 1,400 eye a little bit.
Stafford?
I think Stafford and McVay are going to be awesome.
I think they are a combo that could be a nice combo.
Yeah.
And I want to see a guy like Stafford get his opportunity with a franchise that has a chance to do something.
Yeah, I kind of like Stafford a little bit.
Yeah, why not?
Good dude.
Yeah.
Good dude. I want to see him. I always feel the guy who never gets to play on a... And he took them to the playoffs, too, the Lions, I think three times.
I saw a stat on him before. It was he never had a top 15 defense like 8 of the 10 years
he was
there.
The only quarterback.
Maybe it was something wild.
He was the only quarterback in the modern era of football like 40 years to never have one in a 10 year stretch.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Wow.
Every quarterback
it was something nuts.
Has 1 year they fall into it. Okay, the 2020 Eagles defense was atrocious, right? Bob and Jamie pointed out how the offense disappointed last year. Wait till you hear this. It's the John Kincaid Show. We're only at halftime here on the Fanatic.
You just heard about some guy betting $4,000 on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, and he bet it on BetMGM. But maybe he's thinking, okay, well, I'll get that $4,000 back thanks to the Money Monday Club, which is when you bet $50 in a week, they give you a free $10 bet every single week. So eventually, yeah, he probably will make that $4,000 back. But if you want an easy $100, they're going to give that to you, too. Here's what you do. You sign up today on the BetMGM app or register at BetMGM.com. And then you place $1 on tonight's NBA Finals game. All right? So you pick either the Bucks or the Suns. Doesn't matter. But when the first three ball of the game goes in, you're going to have $100 in your account regardless of your bet's outcome. Here's the catch, because there's always a catch. You have to write Pat Egan 100 when they ask you for the bonus code. So those 10 digits right there, Pat Egan 100, are going to get you $100 in free bets for placing just $1 on tonight's game. You're probably going to bet it anyway. You might as well win $100 in free bets. Head on over to BetMGM.com or you download the app, BetMGM, and then you enter the bonus code PatEgan100. You bet $1 on the Suns or the Bucks. First three ball that goes in, boom, you're a winner. It's a new customer offer. It's paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You have to be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. BetMGM Sports in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for making time for the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We greatly appreciate you. And those of you who take The Fanatic with you all day long, whether it's you're listening in your car, your truck, whether you are using the 97.5 The Fanatic app, and you are streaming every day, we see you, we appreciate you, and we appreciate you so much that you are a part of our family all day long, rolling right from us into Cuz Radio, into Mike Missinelli Show, into Devon Gibbons at night, and hopefully going to be part of our FanFest family, which is really, really going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
All right, I will not, the lots of folks getting in on the discussion today on our YouTube channel. We appreciate all of you that are there. Heavy Chevy back with that. Connor's picture making a big blast today on social media. Egan, you took it to an entirely different level. I'm not shocked. And I'm not giggling.
Oh, look, when you put a picture like that up, you're giving me license to do what I do.
Do you know when he wakes up?
Oh, he's
up. I've seen him tweet.
Oh, you have already?
Yeah. Oh, he has?
Not about it. He tweeted about some Phillies odds, which we'll get into in a little while.
I thought that was from 19 hours ago.
It just popped. I don't know how this timeline works.
No, I saw it 19
works.
Hours ago. I don't believe he's tweeting.
It just popped up on.
When he's tweeting, you're going to. There might be a Twitter storm today.
Yeah, 12 hours ago.
He's asleep, I would imagine. As we start the 8 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers, visit paworkinjury.com. In fact, Connor Thomas's first email today may be to Martin Law on that picture.
Hurt feelings.
But no, but I did check the law.
You're a creep. Get away from me.
If you post something on social media picture, nobody has to ask your permission to use it.
It's public.
Nobody. So LeBron James posts a picture. Anybody can retweet it, copy it, do whatever.
Here's the thing. Connor posted that picture. I'm sorry. Let me start. Connor put on that shirt. Connor buttoned exactly two buttons. Connor posed like that. Connor had the picture taken. Connor then looked at his phone, and Connor said, "Yeah, that'll do, pig. That'll do." Okay. And then he posted it. Like, he didn't accidentally post this. He
knew what he was doing. Now, the question is this. Now, I'm getting more fascinated emails. Daniel wants to know who took the damn picture of Connor and why didn't they stop him? Which I think is a
fair
funny,
questions.
And I think is a funny answer. Evan says here, "I listen every day and I love how you guys are all becoming characters and I'm learning more about you." He said, "I can't say that I like or appreciate any one of you anymore, though, the more crazy stuff I hear about you. But Connor, what is it with the pictures?" He says, "Connor, is there any chance Connor was a reformed..." Now, I don't use the term because it might offend somebody. That Connor, I don't believe Connor was ever an unattractive kid. because this guy's, I'm not going to use the term he used, that he's saying that Connor now feels really, really good about how he looks. That
was
a lot
once
of times,
an ugly duckling, now yeah, he's a swan.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. He wants to know where his immense confidence comes from. I said, I just think he's a confident guy.
Probably his success on the dating apps, I would say.
He's a confident guy.
Should we maybe reach out to Connor to see if he'll explain himself?
No, not Mexico.
Nobody needs to hear that.
First of all, he's on vacation. So no. And by the way, again, Mopar brought it up earlier. I think Mopar brought it up on the on our YouTube chat, the idea of who's doing that when you're on vacation? I sort of go in the bunker.
Maybe it's going to be his Christmas card. Who knows? A lot of people post from vacation.
Well, no, you get to, standard. Posting a picture is fine, but a picture of yourself, I don't know.
Well, he's a one-man crew.
A picture of yourself where it's clearly trying to say, sup, ladies.
Sup.
There you go. That's not how I'm enjoying myself. That's how I'm trying to steal your woman.
Mr. Snuffy saying they hating on Connor, they jealous.
Well, I was going to say, if it works for him, I mean, look, I'm an old washed man at this point. I'm removed from the game.
Let me tell you, Snuffy, he's the only person on the show who's single, so no one's really jealous of him, okay?
What? Hey.
No, I mean, I'm not jealous, but I understand being young and 20 and wanting to be on the dating apps.
All right.
Sounds like a good time.
The Eagles' defense took the bullets, but the more I do the reconnaissance, they were sunk by friendly fire. Only Denver last year in the NFL threw more interceptions than the Eagles 20. The Eagles fumbled the ball. Go Penn State. Another 9 times for 29 turnovers. Did you know that only the 49ers and the Broncos in the entire NFL turned the ball over? The Eagles were 30th in turning the ball over. But the Eagles were number one in setting up the opposition after turnovers on the shortest fields. So consider again, the Eagles' defense still finished 20th, and the offense was that atrocious. The 2020 Eagles offense, both of you in this room answered to me yesterday, the Eagles' offense, man, we came in on Mondays and we were talking about that offense, talking about the offense. But I don't believe we've done enough to say, man, the Eagles' defense, maybe it wasn't as bad as anybody wanted to make it out to be, because no defense was put in a worse position by their offense than the Eagles' defense. And that's where we begin the 8 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie and Pat and the coach and Connor, who is in Mexico, waking up this morning, going to be a little angry, and Pat Egan and Heavy Chevy and Tom answering the phones at 610-632-0975 here on The Fanatic. That's incredible how many short fields they put the opposition on.
Doesn't shock me at all.
So it doesn't shock you at all?
No.
That doesn't.
I mean, I don't say it to be like hyperbole. I thought Carson Wentz was the worst quarterback in the league last year. And it wasn't even just his turnovers. He had a knack for being timely, momentum, soul-crushing turnovers. I talked about it last year because I was doing the post game, so I could probably go back to my notes and even look at a lot of this stuff. When Jalen Hurts came in the New Orleans game, because I brought up on air, the defense has to be sick of Carson Wentz because they're on the field as much as anybody in the entire NFL.
Oh, they were.
And every time they go to get a break from a long drive, it seemed like Carson Wentz would turn it over. And when Jalen Hurts came in that New Orleans game, if I remember correctly, one of the he either had a scramble or a really good pass to the pylon. The first people out on the field to celebrate with him, Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. And I'm not trying to make too much of it, but it was like they went, oh, all right, we don't have a quarterback that's going to kill us now. We can actually get a breather and stop getting our backs broken. I think the defense was 100% on the Jalen Hurts wagon last year.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, as you said, it was the worst quarterback play in the league last year.
It was horrible.
Carson Wentz was.
Incredible.
So, yeah. And look, the numbers could get skewed defensively in that, okay, you're not giving up a lot of yardage because the offense is getting off the ball and the other team has a short field. But I didn't come away much impressed with much of anything from the defense last year. Like, I didn't come away saying, all right, this is really good. You can build on that. Jamie brings up the defensive line a lot. That's your best. That's the best thing you have going. And you may have some players on there that are still really okay. in Josh Sweat and Fletcher Cox, whatever. But I didn't come away from that defense thinking, all right, they're really good to go. They're okay.
Until Wentz left, it was the, when Wentz stopped being the Eagles starter, the Eagles were 32nd. And then when Jalen Hurts got them to 30th, so he dug them a little out of the hole.
Yeah.
But the idea is that when you're constantly putting a defense up against it, as James says, I mean, that's...
Well, not to completely...
It is soul-crushing.
Oh, totally.
Not only to a fan, but to the defense.
Momentum in the NFL is real. But the same thing, they're not a defense that got turnovers. So when the offenses needed a bailing out to get the ball back in their hands, the defense was unable to come up with those, which, you know, it's a two-way street, but I think the offense killed that defense last year.
Oh, it absolutely did.
Not as all the excuse, but they didn't set them up for success a lot.
Do you look at anybody on this defense? And Josh Sweat, I know, is the name you're going to bring up, Gene, but
I love him.
Is there somebody on this defense that you're comfortable in riding this year? To say, all right, this is really going to be a good defense.
You're talking about
riding. Well, who's...
Did I see decline? I saw a decline in Fletcher Cox last year.
Yeah,
and to me, I don't know if that was sagging because of, you know, and again, I don't think he was in any way terrible. I don't think he was any way awful.
They have nobody that goes out and make. I said this all last year. They have nobody that goes out there and makes plays. You don't have that linebacker whose name's always called, who's always around the ball, who's forcing fumbles. You don't have that dominant defensive lineman.
No.
I think you just don't have that playmaker.
I think the guy we all are gonna realize came on at the end of last year and is going to wow us a little bit this year is going to be Javon Hargrave. I thought he finished the year really great. We forget it was a weird start to the year last year for these guys. You know, like a Jalen Reagor didn't get a full camp and then he had an injury. Javon Hargrave came into a new system, new coaches, all that stuff, got an abbreviated camp. I believe he also had an early injury that hampered him a little bit. I thought the last like six games of the year, he was a monster. So I'm hoping he's a guy that we can look to. Josh Sweat's another. And I still believe in Darius Slay. And Anthony Harris is one that's going to be an upgrade. Like, I'm not telling you he's going to be an all-pro safety or anything, but it's going to be an upgrade from what we've had.
Javon Hargrave has to learn another system, though.
Well, yeah, fair, but he's going to have a full camp to do it.
Yeah.
So I think he's a guy I'm hopeful will take that next step.
Hopeful, yeah.
Okay, now
we
already have people chiming in going, here we go again with another name. Javon or Javon? I heard it's Javon.
I think it's Javon.
J, like J-A-Y
Hargrave
hyphen Von.
I just got the media guide yesterday. Let me look it up.
I think it's J.
I'm pretty positive. You could just say Hargraves.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, still though. I think it's J. J-A-Y.
Alshon Jeffries or Jeffrey?
Yeah, Pam or... You know what?
Let's discuss.
Hey, Wawa and Chips Ahoy are teaming up to bring you handcrafted beverages for the summer. Chips Ahoy, smoothies, milkshakes, and more. Gotta have a Wawa. I don't know if Coach was having one yesterday. I thought I may have seen one on his desk yesterday. A Chips Ahoy smoothie. He may have been. It might have been
is
a cheat
he allowed
day.
To do that?
I don't know.
I had a smoothie this morning, but it wasn't a Chips Ahoy one.
Now, when I hear the word smoothie, though, I always think healthy.
I had banana mango berry.
Coach, you would,
with some energy boost.
Coach, you love Wawa, but you would not imbibe in the Chips Ahoy smoothie because you are a health freak.
No, stopped at Wawa this morning and got this small Red Bull here.
You did not. That's not a canister.
Small.
That's
really
a keg. Would you have the hot dog smoothie if they made it for you at Wawa?
Hell yeah.
Oh, jeez. Somebody make him a hot dog smoothie.
Oh, God.
Hey, Greg in Bethlehem.
Nice bean base.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Morning, guys. I hope the defensive coordinator, the new coordinator, will implement at least part-time a zone defense. It was obvious last year that Slay was bemoaning the fact that his back was always turned. I mean, that explains a lot of their lack of turnovers, interceptions. You know, hopefully the guy will implement a zone defense, and you know, that may allow them to cover up some deficiencies.
Yeah, and we're certainly hoping that that's the fact. I mean, the turnovers have to happen. If you have a defense, to me, if your defense is not impactful, you're not winning anything.
Marcus Epps led your team in interceptions.
With two.
I mean, you watch any of the teams in the playoffs, There were playmakers on defense. Guys that use name you heard all the time. And I think the NFL is starting to turn a little bit. I think playmaking linebackers are starting to become a thing. And if you look at the playoff teams from last year, Tampa Bay being the leader among them.
You could have made a case for White being MVP.
Exactly. I think that linebacker that makes plays, that's all over the place, is coming back to the NFL. And if the Eagles don't hop on that bandwagon, they're going to be left behind again.
In the linchpin, Jamie says these odds are just too good to pass up, potentially.
This is the linchpin.
Woo, fighting off a sneeze here.
Yeah, what was going on with that?
I thought it was coming and it didn't.
No, but you did, though. You sneezed a few
Our
times,
perfect
right?
show just out. Ended.
It's okay. Coach yesterday.
I hear you, Bob.
Coach yesterday, you today.
Yeah.
That's 2 days where the perfect show was ruined by sneezing.
I had a blue sneeze. Anyway, yesterday I saw stats, and these aren't sportsbook stats about percentages or odds. It's baseballreference.com.
Okay, I enjoy baseball
reference. I love baseballreference.com. They put out a tweet yesterday, and I think this surprised me. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. NL postseason odds. First is your Dodgers with 99.7% chance. Second, Gabe Kapler and your Giants, 98.8% chance
to make the postseason. Correct.
Brewers come in third, 88.8. Padres fourth, meaning the wild cards are both going to the NL West,
but
folks.
But they are much more confident in the Giants than Padres.
Yes. Padres, 86.3. The next team, your Philadelphia Phillies at 45.5% chance to make the postseason. Immediately behind them, not the Mets, the Braves at 25.9%. The Mets drop all the way down to 18.4 behind the Braves.
I'm completely fascinated.
The Phillies, because I think of strength of schedule, have a pretty handy lead, 20% chance better than the Braves to make the postseason. Floored me.
I'm absolutely blown away by that.
That is nuts. That is nuts.
I mean, it really is.
They're the favorite to win in the NL East. According to baseballreference.com, they are.
There it is.
And how about this? The odds on, even on my Parks Casino Sportsbook app.
I took them at 5-1 Sunday.
They've halved.
Yeah.
In a matter of 4 days.
The Lindor and DeGrom injuries, I think, opened this up, too, in a big way.
And winning a series, winning 3 out of 4, while the Mets are getting beat by the Pirates.
Right.
I mean, I've seen major swing. And again, it just is, they're sucking me in. They're sucking
me
in.
Oh, yeah. I got 5-1 on Sunday. I like it.
You tell me that I'm going to stroll into the vet and I'm going to need a windbreaker to go see a Phillies game.
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Take your pants off.
If you stroll into the vet, I'll be really, really surprised.
What do you mean? The vet. Exactly. If you're telling me that I'm going into Citizens Bank Park and I need a windbreaker.
Oh, give me a playoff hoodie.
Bobby, I would love it.
I love the playoff hoodie. Like when they're all in the dugout wearing the, you know, whatever, NL East.
The thing is that to me, the logo's too big.
It's I hear you.
And every team has the same slogan.
And shouldn't baseball players wear zip-up hoodies?
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't that make more sense?
And they all have the same slogan. Every team, it's just in their team.
Yeah, it's the MLB.
I don't know what their slogan will be this year.
I love the playoff banner since I was a little kid. I couldn't get over it. The red, white, and blue banners that would hang from
what
the...
What is that called?
Bunting flag.
Bunting flag.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of my neighbors has it up.
Jamie,
that was the most exciting thing to me.
The staff puts them up at 4th of July
totally.
In your house.
You know who's a big bunting flag fan? Anthony Gargano loves a bunting flag.
It's the sign of the playoff.
Are you telling me that... You're telling me that Anthony, does he hang him up at his house?
He just loves him on the baseball field.
I love it. it always reminds me of opening day.
Yep.
Or whatever. Okay. Pat?
It makes sense.
Cool weather.
Oh, yeah. No. Playoffs
45.5%.
But their odds make complete sense because we focus on the Mets and they're dealing with injuries with Lindor and DeGrom and whatnot. But the Braves are almost just as banged
They've
up.
They've been decimated.
So it kind of leaves it wide open for the Phillies. We all kind of expect them to buy at least something at the deadline and improve the team. They're starting to hit. They have the easiest schedule. I mean, it's not the worst. You know, if you have $4,000, I would put it on that over the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Hey, Mike and Del Ran joins us on the Fanatic. Mike, how are you, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? So you mean to tell me that there's a 44% chance that Phillies are supposed to make the playoffs, which means that's what I should expect, which I guess is going to mean when they fizzle at the end.
No, 51 would tell you that you should be.
Yeah, great. That's just another team that's going to disappoint me. Listen, guys, I've been training myself all season to not really care and not get too worked up or worried about the Eagles. And then when you remind me that Epps led the team in interceptions with two and that the team was the 30th ranked offensive turnovers and how bad the defense was, it's July and I want to throw up already. Thanks a lot.
See, Go Birds! Mike, here's the problem, though, is that it gives me confidence that, and it's not good, it gives me confidence that it can't be that bad again. So many of those numbers are going to change. It's just football.
Yeah.
So many of those numbers are going to improve. Sort of like the Phillies bullpen. What did we know? The Phillies bullpen was never going to be as bad statistically, even though they're having more blown saves. It was never going to be as bad statistically as last year.
No, it was
their
impossible.
ERA was going to be better just by...
Not impossible. They could have been the worst of all time, not second worst of all time. Got to have goals, Bob. Got to have
good
goals.
Point. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Jamie, that was an intriguing, uplifting story.
45.5%.
We're going to know more.
Counter, there's 54% chance they don't make the playoffs, but I choose not to look at that. I'm not focused on
that's
that.
That's how you ended it. Now that's the thought.
See,
that
you ended
in
it.
People's minds.
That is where you simmer that in the middle.
I'm trying to shake this Sunshine Mary moniker that Anthony gave me. You know, 54% chances they don't make it. They suck. Sports are stupid.
Oh, Barry Buzzkill over there. 54%.
I got to tell you this. If you're talking Sunshine Mary, I think Chunas wears that hat before you do.
Yeah, he's been the playoff team for a while.
Chunas is just a positive guy next door that comes in your house and he smiles. Like, Chunas is like a puppy.
Wow.
Chunas is like a puppy. He's like a boundless energy, like puppy. He's got that smile on his face.
Yeah,
you know, I look at him
as kind of an old man.
Yeah, but he doesn't show up for work grumpy, crappy. Now I want to see Monday Pat. I haven't met him.
No, you say that until you actually get in it.
It's not that bad. I'm lovable.
Pat, do you know how many people have told me there's a Monday Pat?
At least two.
No, I know more than that.
Maybe three.
They've told me there is Monday Pat when it goes down.
It's not going to be bad this year. I have low expectations.
Yeah, you say that.
It's not going to be bad. Mm. It'll be bad if the Phillies are in a hunt and they lose a winnable game.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, I'm sorry we didn't do the low-hanging fruit this morning of the Wentz banner being removed, which was seems like a big topic of conversation. Jamie, I give you the opportunity. You tell everyone tells what is the banner that replaces it if you can only replace one.
I'd probably go with.
Thank you, 97.5.
That's what I go with.
I mean,
and I want Brandon Graham strip sack.
Yeah, Brandon Graham or Kelsey, I think, are the obvious ones because they've been here forever. It did hit me yesterday though that getting removed. That. Wow. This came in like a comet. In with a flash, out with a bang.
Why did it take so long to get it down?
I don't know.
Why are we in July and they're just taking it down?
I guess what was the rush, right?
I don't know. Okay.
As long as it's down before the season, nobody should be paying attention to it, but we're psychos.
It's gigantic on the side of the building on 95.
I just can't believe it was 6 years ago. That he was here, and then he made his way to the side of the building, and now it's over.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's kind of wild to look back on. You're like, holy hell. You were on the side of the building, and your baby ass requested out of town, and now you're gone.
Alyssa says Chunas is a great puppy name.
Well, Chunas,
he's got puppies named all over the Delaware Valley for him.
That's cute. And Super Dude says Chunas over Nikki Foles for a doggy name. And enough. Super Dude, enough. Does he wear a cape?
Super Dude might be wearing a cape.
No, Nikki is a great name, but she's not. She's only Nikki Foles to me. That's why I named her Nikki. She is the. She's the great guy. I'm trying to get the girls to put her in the suitcase and take her with us. Damn it, they're not gonna take.
No,
her.
I can't. Yeah.
I'd love to have her just come up here if I could. Okay, where's one thing where if this guy improves, our entire fall is better. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
I have an idea of what you're probably doing tonight. You're probably watching the NBA Finals. You want to see if the NBA season ends tonight or if they push it another game. But are you betting on the NBA Finals? Well, if you are, then you might as well do it at BetMGM. They're the king of sportsbooks, and here's one of the many reasons why. They're giving new customers a chance at an easy $100. So what you do, you register on the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM, or BetMGM.com, and you put Pat Egan 100. And when you do that, you put $1 on either the Bucks or Suns, doesn't matter. But when one of those two teams hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $100 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. But in order to get in on this offer, you have to type PatEgan100 when they ask you for a bonus code. They also have their innovative parlay selection features, their live betting options, their Money Monday Club, which I've talked about. And, you know, you can pretty much bet every single sport on BetMGM. But you want to get in on this offer because it's too good to pass up. So go to BetMGM.com, download the app, and then put Pat Egan 100. Bet $1 on either team, Suns or Bucks, doesn't matter. And then when the first three balls goes in, you're going to have $100 in free bets in your account. It's a new customer offer. It's paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I just blew Jamie and Coach's minds during the break. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Make sure you put your deposit down now. PhillySportsTrips.com. Join us in Vegas in October for the ultimate birds away game trip. That's PhillySportsTrips.com. I brought up to Coach. Coach, also a fan of Two and a Half Men. Love Two and a Half Men. With one of our listeners said that sends an email and he said that Connor dresses like Charlie Harper from Two and a Half Men. He's not wearing the bowling shirts, but he's got that on.
Now, when you say you love Two and a Half Men, does that transfer to pre and post Sheen?
I still watch.
Is it all the same?
It wasn't as funny when Walden Schmidt.
That's Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher's character was Walden Schmidt, who, by the way, Walden was based on, like, his real personality. Okay. So the character of Walden. So, but I didn't like it as much then. Bob, were you a Two and a Half Men fan or not?
No.
You did not like it. Pat, Two and a Half Men?
Not at all.
You didn't like it at all.
Sixers.
I
can tell you right now, if you ever ask Bob if he was a fan of anything, show or movie, the answer's going to be no.
The answer's no, so don't
even. So you might as well just save your time.
Deadliest Catch in Jeopardy. That's what he's got. And Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods, yeah. That's
it. Or not Blue, the tuna one.
Yeah, Wicked Tuna.
Wicked
Tuna.
Look at how you smile.
And Bob is the youngest person in the Blue Bloods demo.
Absolutely, yeah.
Excellent show. He's considered the kid.
It was going to be called Blue Hair for a while, but they went with Blue Bloods instead.
Now, here was Mr. Snuffy is in one of these. He's another one of these. Two and a Half Men. Oof. Network TV. Hard pass. Network TV. Ooh, no, that can't be funny.
Let me just
it's
say.
It's network TV.
Mr. Snuffy has spent the first 2.5 hours of her show ripping anything we say.
That's all he does.
So we could have said his favorite show and he would have said complained about it.
I said to Coach, one of my favorite characters is Charlie's mother and Alan's mother. Who is Holland Taylor, the actress.
Yes.
And I said, you know who her longtime companion is? And Jamie went, no, who? And Coach didn't know either. Sarah Paulson. And
love
you didn't
her.
Know that.
And she's local,
I
too,
love
Holland.
Holland Taylor's from Bryn Mawr, right?
Yeah. It says born in Philadelphia.
I think she's from Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, is where she's from, or from that area. And I've heard her talk about it and be interviewed about it before.
She attended Westtown School, the same school as Mo Bamba.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't because
there's did not know Sarah Paulson.
There's like a 35-year age difference.
Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor have been together for a long time, I think.
Huh.
Been, like, long time, if I'm
two honest. Really good actresses.
Sarah Paulson, when she was two-headed, Coach, really good. The two.
Yeah, was that Freak Show, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great in Horror Story.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah, she's really good.
Really good.
She, Holland Taylor must be doing something right. She's.
I think she's
kind of cradle rocking a little bit there. It's good work by her.
Bob's like, Sixers draft is coming up.
Sarah Paulson, Bob?
I have a son that goes to South Carolina.
There you go. Is that by the hat? Oh, he's wearing the hat.
Some people.
What's wrong with you?
Why is my infatuation with South Carolina? I have a child that goes there.
We're talking Holland Taylor and Sarah Paulson, Bob.
I mean, come on now.
Snap two.
All right.
Big game tonight for the Phillies.
What's the one thing where Doug Peterson was deficient that you can guarantee me today you think Nick Sirianni will be superior in? Remember, when you answer it, you're telling us all you think Nick Sirianni will be a better coach than a guy who won the Super Bowl in this town in this one specific skill set. I've got one. I want to see if any of you match mine. Bob, there's one thing you're going to tell me today that you think Nick Sirianni will be better than Doug Peterson in.
I was going to go with play calling.
That's sort of...
But that's generalization, kind of. So, I'll do this. I'll say play designing.
Damn it, Bob.
Okay, you say play designing. We're sort of on the same path, but we're not.
Mine's in that family, but it's getting the ball in playmakers' hands in a quicker fashion. Meaning, you don't need to take 7 seconds for a play design to develop... To like get the ball in Miles Sanders' hands or Dallas Goedert's hands and get some blocking in front of them. The Eagles got away from that. They were great in Doug's first 3 years with it. And then last year, everything just sucked. So I think, you know, that 10 yards and in the line of scrimmage, I think they're going to be a better offense within that 7 to 10 yard range than they are.
Jamie doing his Nick Sirianni homework, that is absolutely what would be one of the cornerstones of what he wants to accomplish.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a backbone of the offense. Yeah. Okay,
that's not it, though. That's not mine, at least.
Mine's kind of in the same realm as Jamie, but it's coaching a player's strengths, which I don't think Doug Peterson did at all.
Expound.
Like Jalen Reagor last year, I don't think he coached to his strengths at all. I think he kind of tried to force a square peg into a round hole, and I think he did that with defensive personnel. He didn't necessarily coach the defense, but... as a team, you know, he is the head coach, and they didn't use the players to their strengths, I felt like, a lot of times. They would just, okay, this is the scheme. You're gonna work it. Like, Carson Wentz wasn't good at throwing a wheel route, yet every week we were seeing him throw tons of wheel routes. Or at least last season he wasn't good at throwing a wheel route.
No, he wasn't last year. He was very bad at it. Mine is different, but it sort of is in the same family. I believe Nick Sirianni will be less predictable. And I can almost guarantee it from every single bit of going down the rabbit hole of reading about anything ever written about Sirianni, everything ever written about Jonathan Gannon. I believe his that he is a disciple, an absolute disciple offensively of what Frank Reich has tried to implement. Jamie's point of view: Quick release. Get rid of the ball. During Frank Reich's tenure as an NFL head coach, one of the quickest offenses to get rid of the ball, one of the shortest distances for balls to be thrown, yards after catches becoming more important, mm-hmm. getting guys into space, his whole design. But Sirianni, too, I believe I thought what was great is, didn't you always think that in the first possession, one of the first three plays, what did you think Doug Peterson was going to do? I thought he was going to air it out and throw it deep.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at home.
Yeah.
One of the first three plays, I thought he was going to take a shot.
Yeah, but then his first 15 plays sucked last year. And that may have been because the quarterback sucked and the offensive line.
Is it predictability or is it... Could you watch a game...
He just got stagnant last year.
When your friends and your buddies or whoever it is you're watching games with, were you sitting there saying... Okay, this possession's a big possession here. All right, we know what Doug's going to do here. Doug's going to try to hit Zach Ertz. This one's going to Ertz. This one's going to... He's going to run the ball here.
Yeah, it was the short dink and dunk game all the time. It was slants constantly. You know, rarely did you... Like, here's an... One thing that bothered the hell out of me about Peterson last year was in game, you see something that worked and you didn't go back to it. You know, there were times where, oh my God, the running game's working, and then 11 out of the next 12 plays are passes. Or, oh my God, you threw a screen, you threw a bubble screen to Quez Watkins and he took it to the house, never saw it again. You know, different things like that. He was head scratching in those areas where he just always had to go back to the comfortability factor.
Do you remember the Cleveland game?
Yeah, fumble.
In the rain. You drive all the way down. You're running the football down their throat. You get to the goal line and you fumble. And Butterfingers, you know, it was a fumble. So then you then start to say it's a rainy day. You're going to start throwing the ball. Like, I don't. I always say until somebody can stop you to do something, make them stop you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the essence of sports right there. You can go in with your first. To me, the first 15 scripted plays were always a tryout of how the game is going to go. So in those 15 plays, you're probably not duplicating many plays, if any. You're trying 15 different plays. To me, it was always, okay, this worked, this worked. Wow, now we have like a semblance of how this game might play out. Now my next 60 plays, I may lean heavier on those that worked. I never saw that with Doug Peterson. I rarely saw it, I should say, never, I don't like to use, but rarely saw it with Doug Peterson. It's something that seemed blatantly obvious.
Well,
it didn't come back to.
Did he have complete carte blanche? Because I keep thinking back to that Green Bay game.
There's no way that Jeffrey Lurie was telling him on Sunday morning, you are going to call these plays.
That's not the plays, but the philosophy. Because that Cleveland game, if they're marching down and the run game's working, he's got a little voice in the back of his head going, I want you to pass the ball more. Because Jeffrey, you know, to the reporting, I believe, of Jeff McClain, got pretty upset after a win in Green Bay that they didn't throw it enough, to me is nonsensical.
This was 11 games. The Cleveland game last year was the perfect example, and it's the one that I researched for this, that going, and it was 10 games into the season. So it wasn't like something where the Green Bay game was having an option with this. First and 10, run. Second and 10, short pass. First and 10, run. Second and 1, run. First and 10, run. Second and 5, run. Third and 2, run. First and 10, pass. Second and 5, run. First and goal, run, fumble. They're just running it down their throat. Then they come out in a interception touchdown. You know, the interception.
Yeah.
Okay. Pass, 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 pass.
Yeah, maybe because he's got
But you've just run the ball 8 times effectively.
Well, if you know your owner / boss is going to be unhappy with running it, maybe that part of your brain goes, oh, crap, I need to throw more.
Oh, my God.
My part of my brain says, if Miles Sanders doesn't fumble the damn ball on the 1-yard line, I have just run the ball down your throat. I've scored a touchdown on the road. I've sucked the life out of your building. And by the way, next time I get the ball, I'm running it again. Do you show me you can stop it?
Yeah.
And that is, they came out. Pass, 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 interception, return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
They totally abandoned what was working because they were there. And I refuse to believe he's going, well, Jeffrey Lurie wants me to throw, so I'm going to throw
it. It's not a conscious thought, but when your boss comes down on you after a win for something that wasn't done.
That was a year before. It was a year and a half before.
You don't shake that.
Really?
If your boss is reprimanding you after a win on the road in one of the toughest environments in the entire league, you don't shake that. That's weird, and that would stick with me if I was Doug.
I'd be like your boss saying, don't mention something that, like where you lived or something.
I don't know how you shake that.
Letting it get in your head.
As a coach. Because oh, crap, if I'm running and we're winning, I'm still going to hear about it. So I better pass.
The more I win, I'm not hearing anything.
Are you?
Yes.
Who would have thought he would have said something after winning Lambeau?
You win the game at Cleveland. You were tied for first.
Look, I'm not saying this makes sense.
Yeah.
But if he's going to him after a win in Green Bay and say, well, that was nice.
That was 15 months before.
It doesn't matter. You don't shake that. That's a weird, weird thing. Any win is a good win in the National Football League.
Wow. If that was stuck in his head at all, and I hear what you're saying. I understand totally. But if that was stuck in his head at all,
he's done.
That's not the makeup of any professional coach that I've ever encountered, because their sole mindset is to win that game and not to keep anybody happy about the way they go
about.
He's
getting a mixed message from ownership then, isn't he?
Well, then, but the thing is, though, then you're too weak-minded to be the head coach then.
Well, who could survive in that?
If a film producer got in your head...
He's a football guy now, John. It's been a quarter of a century.
That you're not doing it, that is crazy. Let me ask you this. You guys know each other, and I don't know this about you because I've never lived through a football season with you. When you look at that team and you would watch that team, would you come in and complain about play calling? Were you a play calling? Did you guys
situationally?
So it's more situational. You didn't come in. It wasn't like an overriding theme with you guys.
No. I would say, look, I was the hardest
on
Doug Peterson.
You weren't the biggest
Peterson.
Fan, though, right?
You were. I was the hardest on Peterson out of anybody. So play calling was probably at the near the top of my list, yeah.
Okay, so what about, where were you guys, where did you fall on the two-point conversion thing?
I love it.
I think that should be situational.
He outthought the room so many times.
But most situations he did it was one where you could still overcome it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't want you to make a strategy decision that then you have to overcome.
Well,
Why are you? Because
if you're not really setting yourself back, you have.
But you are. If you have to overcome something, you set yourself back.
Overcoming to a degree where a field goal can still tie or possibly win it, whereas 1 point might not make the difference. Most times, his 2-point conversions. I know a lot of people don't think they were well thought out. They were very well thought out.
Pat, where'd you fall on the 2-point conversion thing?
I liked it, and I think it had a time and place. But I thought last season he got desperate with it. He was trying to use it to gain momentum in situations, and when it didn't work, it did the exact opposite. When it was 4th and 7, 4th and 8, and you're basically at the 50-yard line and you're doing it, it was one of those situations where I was like, okay, let's go, let's get the offense rolling. And I understand why he did it,
right?
But it didn't work.
Bob thinks there's something in Cooney's corner, though, that could be a lot better with this Eagles offense.
Now let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
So it's not something. And I'm being honest here. I think it's everything. What could be worse? What can't be better? Those are the same things. What can't be better about this Eagles offense and should be better about this Eagles guy? We can break it down. Let's go quarterback. Jamie, statistically, pretty much, right? It was the worst starting quarterback play in the NFL last season.
Top three worst, for
so
sure.
It's almost like the Phillies bullpen from last year. Maybe it's still bad. But it has to be better. You have to have better quarterback play this year.
You mean you have to, or you guarantee
me
that it will be?
Addition by subtraction.
I think you have to only because it can't be as bad. So it will be better. Okay?
Okay.
We'll go quarterback. Okay.
Yes, I believe there's two worse quarterbacks in the league than Jalen Hurts.
Yes. Was
well,
Miles...
that would just be even then.
I don't think it'll be that bad.
I don't think it'll be that bad.
I don't think it'll be that bad.
Turnovers, everything that was there. I don't think it'll be that bad.
Okay,
let's go to the running back. They've added depth to the running back position during this offseason. Miles Sanders last year was way worse than we thought he was going to be. We thought he was taking that next step, and we weren't the only ones. A lot of people around the NFL, all the things that you read, people were talking about home run hitter, a steal in a second round. I feel this, and with the depth that they now have, I think the running back position is going to be better this year.
I do. I absolutely do.
Okay.
I think the running back room is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, between Gainwell, they brought in Kerryon Johnson.
Exactly.
Options. Yeah.
Options,
optionality,
yes,
and competition.
There's no question.
If Miles Sanders is looking himself in the mirror, he's going, oh, damn, I got two youngsters behind me that are coming for my job. Like, he's got to step it up.
I like Kerryon.
And that's good.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I like the acquisition.
It's a good room.
So, I think that's a good room. Go to the offensive line. One word, health.
Right.
But Egan brought this up earlier, and it's a good one. They have depth now also. And Jordan Mailata may take that next step up to where he's not such a roller coaster of a season, but he's 23 years old.
Correct.
He got a taste of what it's like to start.
Did he come here when he was 14? Like, it feels like he's been here.
I know.
And 5 years now.
Everybody talks about how this kid is just getting better and better and better. So I think your offensive line is going to be not even a little. They may be a lot better than they were last year.
They could because be a of lot the better.
Exactly. A lot better.
All right, let's go out to the wide receivers. All you did was take the Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver. You have a bunch of guys that kind of grew at some point last year and then got hidden away for, you talk about Fulgham, you talk about, all the different types of guys. We all think that Rager may have a better year. almost again. Can't be worse.
Right.
He should take that natural progression. And you have a coach that, as Jamie pointed out, likes to get the ball in their hands at their strengths. I think the wide receiver core, if for nothing else, because of Devontae Smith, will be better.
Yeah, I mean, his route running alone should help Rager in that, you know, he's got weeks in camp to, you know, learn. I hate to say that the kid that's already been here a year is going to learn from the rookie, but it's kind of that way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the knock on Rager was his route running was sloppy, which was true. And Devontae Smith is as crisp a route runner as you may see coming out of college.
Right, so that leaves you with the tight ends. And we did talk a lot about Zach Ertz earlier today. And where is he, and can Dallas Goedert step up?
And Dick Rod. Rod's back.
And Dick Rod is also back, question. Okay, maybe
between
that's...
that and Bob's hat, we're really going to be in trouble.
Maybe that's even... Maybe if Goddard,
Ertz was coming off such a big year that the expectations were it was going to be a really good tight end room.
Right, Ertz was bad last year.
Yeah.
Ertz was bad.
Yeah.
If Goddard steps into that number one spot, he'll probably have a better season than Ertz had last year, and some of that will be quarterback play.
And he better stay healthy.
Yeah, and then you have Ertz, if he stays here, as your second guy, I don't know how much 12 they'll run or if he's a backup. So, at worst, let's call tight end play even, although I think you'll get better starting play than what Ertz gave you last year. Where is it there not improvement there in that offense?
No, that is. You've just made me more optimistic. You've made me more
It's going to be fun.
It could be.
We're going to get a new look. The fact the play design's new is exciting to me.
I'm excited to see a new coaching staff, new energy. I'm always excited by that, though.
Sure. Absolutely.
See something different.
I'm really excited for Devontae.
So I go to our message board, and I'm reading along here, and it's there's one that I did find a bit charming, is because I can't believe it. Justin says, "Hey Vince, we'll see if Wentz regressed this season." Justin, Wentz regressed in 20 from 19. Wentz regressed in 19 from 18. Wentz regressed in 18 from 17. We already have 3 years of data that shows he regressed from his best year. What are you talking about? Could he have a really good year in Indianapolis? I think all of us believe he's going to have a big rebound year.
I'm probably going to bet him for comeback player of the year if I can.
We're all saying that. We all believe he's going to. But he is absolutely. You saw 3 years of regression. It's not like last year was. Last year he fell off the cliff. It was a disaster. But the regression was 3 years. It wasn't 1 year. And he had that amazing 2019 finish to pull it out of the crapper.
Mm-hmm.
That December of 2019 was amazing.
Yeah, I'll never forget that Miles Sanders touchdown pass in D.C.
Oh, my God.
It's one of the best throws I've ever seen an Eagles quarterback.
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just, the Giants comeback was a fantastic one. Mm-hmm. But again, they dug holes.
Yeah, his own holes a lot of times.
And again, I'm not going to give the starting quarterback credit. When you light the house on fire, and then you're the guy that shows up with a hose to put it out. I'm not going, hey, man, a great, great job. You just get, hey, you pull that one out.
Yeah.
Take a win, get away with it, and run.
By the way, Connor's up and recognizes what's going on social media.
Oh, is that right?
He said, just woke up to a world where posting a beautiful Insta pic on vacation is now frowned upon. What the hell, guys?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, what a loser.
I would describe what we did as frowned upon.
We're bringing attention to poke fun, maybe.
Not frown.
You posted some of our thirst trap pictures.
Yeah, so we actually, people don't know this, right? In a bonding experience, we also went down to Mexico.
And
this was before the show started, just to like get a lay of the land, if you will. Same spot, and we took pictures of ourselves. So you can find those at 975 JK Show, and you can find those on the Instagram account of the John Kincaid Show.
Pat made you guys buff and me a fat bastard. Well, thanks, Pat. That was really cool.
I didn't make anything. Those are the body shots.
There we go. All right, coming up, let's compare the current Phillies to other teams that had our support. We'll get to it next on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Get that Parx Sportsbook app and go to Twitter today and follow along at Parx Sportsbook with the X, Parx with an X. And you can get yourself to get some information every day, some insider tips, some great little promotions, all those kind of things that you can do if you follow along. It's the only sportsbook app that is backed by the number one casino in Pennsylvania, the only one that I recommend to you. I love the in-game play-by-play betting. And I promise that I'm going to watch more closely, because the other day I wanted so much to believe that the Phillies were going to come back when they fell behind to the Marlins, but I chickened out. I could have cashed in. That's where the savvy wager can make up some big cash. Bet on winners and you can get that $500 risk-free bet. Download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. You get game previews and more. The website's got all the details for you. And it's a risk-free wager. You got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The 9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. Justin is like, JK crushed me. Can't wait to meet him at FanFest. I can't wait to meet you either, Justin. If you don't have tickets, we will make sure that you have them too. The decline, gentleman saying here is I'm going to just answer you is what, hold on a minute here. Okay, what Charles says, very formal. Oh, no, he signs it Chuck. Chuck says, what was Justin watching if he didn't see the decline? He claims the decline of Wentz was 2 years, not three.
Well, I thought the argument...
I said it's three, is that it was 3 years because your decline begins from your highest point. Your highest point is when decline begins. If you don't match your highest point, then by definition, you start the decline.
My highest point was you, was the first minute of the show we started on January, what, 6th?
January 4th.
4th. So that was my high point. How am I doing, John?
I think you're doing great.
All right, good.
There you go. I mean, come on in.
I don't know. It's interesting you bring that up. I've never thought about this before.
Like, as far as when did the decline begin?
Yeah, I would say he slowly declined over 2.5 years.
I would also say 2017 till he got hurt.
I thought the injury thing would come up with a lot of people.
He was so freaking spectacular. In 2017, that was the most fun I've ever had watching an Eagles quarterback play. And I was heartbroken.
He was good.
And I was heartbroken for him and for us when he got injured.
Yeah.
That broke my heart. Because I did think it was done.
Yeah,
That night, doesn't that seem like
such a distant memory when he was playing football the way he was playing football?
But man, he was playing at a high level. I'm going to ask you to go down memory lane a little bit here. Whenever a Phillies team goes on a postseason run, we draw comparisons because we've got such few great Phillies teams to compare the occasional really good ones to. I think it's inevitable. So I'm asking you to take the truth serum right now. Everybody, you know, chug it. Does the 2021 Phillies team remind you in any way of any of the 2007 versus 2011 teams? Did they remind you at all of the 93 Phillies, if you still remember that? And if you can consume all the way back to the champs of 80? Because seriously, to me, they don't compare to any of them. That doesn't mean they still can't be successful, but it does give me doubts. Those teams had overwhelming numbers of fan favorites on the roster. Who does this team have? Who's the clutch guy? The guy who is the marginal player that you just know, clutch, 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 clutch. Could that guy be coming in a late roster addition? To me, it's up to the Phillies themselves to move me off of the skeptical list. But one thing about all those teams that we talked about, I think they had a really, really strong likability factor that I don't know that this 2021 Phillies team has. But we want to get thoughts from Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille. We've got Mike directing on YouTube, Heavy Chevy. making sure everything's done there. Tom is in for Connor, answering the phone calls. And Ryan is our guest intern this week, heading back to Arizona State in a couple weeks here on the John Kincaid Show. I mean, it's all the different issues, but the likability factor, like, I don't think this is a very likable team.
No. No, that 93 team caught people because of their machismo. They were in last place the year before.
Vitamins.
All of, yeah.
In Cavalia, all of that stuff. Ike, Isaac yeah. Mike, and Mitch
Dykstra
Williams.
Dykstra blowing up Dykstra. 40 pounds. Right. And, you know, of course, Darren Dalton holding it all together. There's always been a likability factor with teams that went, and are they handed that went into playoffs? Are they hand in hand because they went to the playoffs? That's why you like them. This team is kind of a, who are you? Maybe it's because a lot of the guys, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Segura, Didi Gregorius, a lot of the guys, McCutcheon, they didn't come up with this team.
Correct.
And if this team's going to be successful, it's going to be because of guys that didn't come up with this team, except for maybe an Aaron Nola or a Reese Hoskins.
And we need those guys to step up, take it to a level they're not at right now.
Yeah, I don't think this is a very likable bunch. I just saw the Inquirer tweet from this morning. It says less than half of the team is vaccinated. And when you talk about the likability thing, like, you know, that's gonna be a factor for a lot of people. They've underperformed, I would say, to a degree. They don't really have too many clutch guys. We've questioned the manager a good amount. I love McCutcheon. He's been one of my favorite Philly athletes in the last decade. I think he's
a guy I've always respected.
Yeah, he's fun. I think he's a guy that can be clutch. JT, I hope, can be clutch. I think he has it in him. And Bryce, too. I mean, if Bryce isn't clutch, you're not going to go anywhere. We'll see. But likability-wise, they're not really there. I hope they get there. They can get there by being a playoff team. I like playoff teams a lot more than I like not playoff teams.
And if they make the playoff, if they end up making the playoffs, that means in the next 2 months, we've had some late nights watching games, sweating them out to the end, big dramatic victories, and maybe, Pat, someone then elevates themselves into that high likability factor at that point?
Maybe, hopefully. And I think winning does that for sure, especially in this city. But I think what Bob said is dead on accurate. I mean, the Phillies teams of the past came and won with a homegrown core that you had heard about. Like, you had heard about Cole Hamels when he got drafted. You had heard about him in Clearwater and his Reading starts. Like, you had really seen Ryan Howard and hit the home run record in Reading. So you had followed their careers.
And Chase and Rollins.
Yeah, and this is primarily a bought team. And they do have some homegrown pieces for sure, but the homegrown pieces aren't necessarily their best players. And that's the difference between this team and the teams in the past.
Mike in San Antonio jumps in with us. Mike, listening on that app. We appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, I was going to bring up, this team reminds me a little bit of 83. I don't think they could be that good, but they've got some guys coming off the bench, like that 83 team did, that spark you, like Brad Miller. I love Bamboo Brad. And, you know, the idea that platooning players would help, I think. When we got an age team, I think that 83 team was a little old.
They were the Wheeze kids. Yeah. They were old. They were the oldest team in baseball.
Yeah, so McCutcheon's got that old part to him, that grizzled veteran stuff. And now Harper seems like a veteran getting too old, too. But I would love it if they could turn it on. There were guys like Jim Lafay on that team, and then John Denny just pitched lights out, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, there were a lot of
Only game they won in that World Series. John Denny
in 83.
Pitched. Yeah.
That was the rain game. They won it on a home run late. Gary Maddox, maybe? Hit a home run. If I remember, it was a rainy night in Baltimore. And I think they won game one.
It was like 1-0 or 2-1.
Three-two is in my head. I may be wrong.
Okay,
but it's in the mix.
We could certainly look it up.
I think they
lost it on a Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, I believe, because I was at a high school football game.
I was guessing Sunday. See, there's a crazy.
It might have been Sunday. Maybe the game was pushed back.
They lost all those terrible games. Too. That was a horrible World Series.
I have no memory of it.
You wouldn't. Yeah. You weren't alive. I like where Pat says if there was only a machine.
There's like a website. You could just ask any question,
Someone should invent this, but yeah, you can just ask any question and answers pop up.
I don't know.
Well, the online bookstore guy is about to go to space. So, I mean, anything's possible in these computer devices.
Phillies won game one, 2-1.
It was a late home run?
John Denny. I just said
okay, that. I thought it was and a ninth inning home the run in the four. Rain.
They lost the last one 5-0. I know Eddie Murray went off, but I think the World Series MVP was the catcher then for the Orioles.
They got swept, I know that. So in the home games.
Yes, they went down. After winning just, the first game, they went down.
And then
down.
It just all fell apart.
I think Rick Dempsey
point.
Was your MVP. He had 385 that series. How do you like that?
This is what happens when all you do is have sex and watch sports, ladies.
There you go.
This is it.
The Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store since 1982, providing the best in pool tables, shuffleboard tables, foosball, darts, and other games. You can check them out online. It's royalbilliard.com, Royal Billiard. And recreation, and that's some good stuff. By the way, one of our emailers sends in a note here, Michael. He says, you were getting on Mr. Snuffy earlier for his belief that network TV is inferior to streaming or cable TV, as he puts here. He said, I think Mr. Snuffy is right the majority of the time.
Absolutely.
He says, but there are many, many still quality shows on network TV. But he says if Mr. Snuffy's point was that it was, I'll read it exactly. If Mr. Snuffy's point was, I can't believe Mr. Snuffy's this big of a conversation.
It's dominating your brainwaves today, John.
He says,
is.
Mr. Snuffy, no, I want to give him his due, because this gentleman says, Mr. Snuffy, if his point was network TV as a whole is inferior to streaming, I believe he's correct. But there are many good shows, and he said, and he is a huge fan of 2.5 Men, and he says, and I rarely watch any network TV. This guy says he rarely watches any network.
I never watched it. But
do you watch any network TV anymore?
Not really.
I said Bob's the youngest guy to watch Blue Bloods.
Yeah, I like FX a lot, but they're not network, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
That's a network, FX.
Okay.
And it's regular TV.
They do a lot of good shows.
FX has good stuff.
They have really good stuff.
Doesn't USA have some good stuff, too?
Why are you looking at me?
No, I'm saying
I'm not a USA
you
brother
watch
with you.
Anything?
My wife's obsessed with some.
Wasn't Suits USA?
They were USA.
Suits was USA.
Suits is USA.
There's some good ones.
TNT has a good show.
And TNT has a lot of good shows.
Yellowstone, people say, is really good. With
I think that's Hallmark. That.
Hallmark Channel?
No, that's Paramount.
Paramount, yeah.
Hallmark. The Hallmark Channel you
want
to avoid.
Yeah.
I cringe every time that's on. That and the QVC network.
In the kitchen with David?
They dominate my television with my wife and my mother-in-law.
I know a lot of people that work at QVC. I actually play hockey with a lot of guys that work at QVC.
It flipped away, though, is that QVC, are they now doing it from, like, people's houses?
They have been, yeah.
Because, like, if I've ever wandered to where...
You're taking me to David's actual kitchen?
It's like people are doing it from, like, I expect someone to, like, have their husband walk in the background. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. I know they used to have beautiful studios over in... East Goshen.
I was going to say Westchester-ish.
Yeah, East Goshen, yes. They had some really nice stuff. By the way, Staples Connect is everything you need to get ready for back to school. Bob even went and bought a new notebook for back to school. Amazing prices, everything on your list. Visit your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com and be more than ready for school. That's our friends at Staples. I loved getting the new stuff for school. And then one weekend I'd be... Just like
I like the smell of the pencil box when you were a little kid. That was pretty much it.
I used to like
pencil boxes. Wait. I don't know what you're talking about. Pencil box.
When we were real little kids,
Ticonderogas.
It was like a cigar box. It was like a cigar box.
The art box. Is it the art box?
We put our pencils in there. Why did we do this? I don't know.
See, we had art boxes. I'm thinking of. It was like where you would put the glue. You'd put the glue. You'd have to put your glue,
like
your little scissors. No, they used to have these little boxes. It was like an art box.
And when you open them for the first time, they smelled really good.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
What about mimeograph paper back in the day, Bob?
I don't know. We had nothing.
When you would smell the paper fresh off the machine that would print them off.
Oh, if you had a test that was hot, they handed you a test piece.
And it was hot.
Everybody would smell
really? Really? Weirdos.
Yeah. Now, if you look at shows that go back to before my time, but like, say, the Wonder Years or something like that, they'll have little scenes like that where they'll be passing out the paper and the kids will go, and they'll sniff the papers because they were coming right off the copier.
The worst was always getting the brown bag cover your textbook assignment from teachers?
Oh, that was
horrible.
What
third grader knows how to do that? It's not easy.
And your parents never wanted to do it.
No.
Now, did you mean to tell me that your mom didn't have one of the staff?
Yeah, right.
Like, wrap your books for her?
The best part of the school year was the contact paper and, like, the trapper keeper, and you get a plain one.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. Contact paper.
Contact paper was that clear, translucent cover that you would put on books. It kind of took the place of the brown bag covers.
Oh, I only did brown bags.
Yeah, so I was in grade school when we kind of moved from brown bags to contact paper. And then I would make like an Eagles, like all my favorite Eagles players or Sixers or Phillies, put their photos on it, on the Trapper Keeper, and then contact it.
See, I would draw.
So it would seal it in.
I would draw the Flyers logo over and over again. And that's where Mr. Koenig told me I was a twit. you twit? Mike Koenig would call me a twit.
When we were bored in school, we would take our notebooks and we would do Pac-Man. So you would draw Pac-Man and then draw like 30 dots in front of him. And then the next page there would be 39 dots and then 38. And then as you flip through it, look like he was eating going along.
Oh, my God.
Did you do any of this stuff?
We played dots in school. Did you ever play dots?
Yeah, Bob's talking about the flip book.
Oh, man.
Did you ever play the... You played everybody, even in your generation, Egan. And Jamie, you guys played, you know, finger football.
Bloody knuckles, finger football, and insulting
question. Okay, I don't know bloody knuckles.
Oh, it's God, I have scars on my knuckles. I can show you.
I was about to say, Jamie, show them.
You grab a knuckle, and it's a two man game. One, you sit across from the desk, and you put your knuckles straight down like this. The other guy gets the nickel. You get to make that,
okay,
and then you launch.
Okay, I know it.
And it would just bust your knuckles open.
It's where boys become men in the West.
Yeah.
There is a. By the way, Big Dan just left QVC in Westchester. Just pulled out. So Big Dan's just pulling out right now.
I'll never forget. I ordered a gold coated Jerry Stackhouse card off of QVC one night when my parents were out on a date, and I think we were. And I don't know how much. It wasn't like crazy expensive. But I think they had like... I think they had an account with QVC or something.
They owned QVC.
Of course they did.
They owned it.
Well, they were
he
big
just called
QVC
up and
people.
Said, this is Jamie.
Quentin Lynch.
Yeah.
Great-grandpa Quentin Lynch was the Q of QVC.
And I remember my parents were so pissed that I had ordered this Jerry Stackhouse gold rookie cook.
Yeah, but you know, you have the last
I still
laugh.
I have it somewhere.
It's worth $1 million now. Yeah,
I should have looked that up.
Now, wait a minute here, though. Did you have any teachers that made you do... Like disastrous. I don't know why I'm thinking of this. I think it's because of you with the dots, Bob. Drawing the dots.
Yeah, that's psycho.
Father Peterson.
I'm going to do it now.
I don't know if Father Peterson is still alive. I hope he is. He was a really good guy. Father Peterson, though, did not like when I would disrupt the class. So he used to make you do the 100 bugs, where you used to have to draw 100 bugs on a sheet of paper. And the bug, he drew it the first day of class. And the bug, each leg of the bug had to go this certain way, and everybody had to do it the first day of class. And if you pissed him off in class, he'd say, Kincaid, that's 100 bugs. Kincaid, that's 200 bugs tomorrow. And you'd have to turn in these 100 bugs. So I created a nice little cottage industry where I would just do them in every class and then sell them. Sell the 100 bugs.
Not bad.
In the linchpin, Jamie says there's something creepy about the ghost of Anthony Bourdain.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, it kind of has to do with new age technology and artificial voice and just, I guess, general AI. Now, Pat has seen this movie, I believe. It's called Roadrunner. It's the Anthony Bourdain new
How
documentary
was it?
That's
it was
coming
really
out.
Good. And I'm not, Jamie's a huge Bourdain fan. I just casually know him, you know, and I found it really interesting.
So I've read all of his books. I'm currently reading his newest one that just came out. It's more of a travel guide than a book, per se.
So they're going into his, like, archives and finding stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was working on this book with friends and family before he passed. His friends, colleagues finished the book for him. And this Roadrunner documentary is supposed to be awesome. I believe it's out in theaters now, coming to HBO Max. They said soon, but they don't have an exact date. Anyway, in the movie, the producer is kind of under some heat from some. He took hours of voice recognition, Anthony's voice, and sent it to a lab. And they recreated, there was a particular line or sequence of the movie that they wanted to be done in his voice that they didn't have in his voice. So they created it. in a lab artificially.
I think it's brilliant.
I think it's also creepy.
A little bit.
It's cool. I appreciate the technology that you're able to do that. But the fact you... to me, it's a slippery slope.
I mean, like, they did this with Fast and the Furious movies when Paul Walker died.
That was just as creepy.
10 years ago.
See, now,
and Paul Walker is the biggest B-list actor that'll be remembered for decades and decades and decades.
Right.
The Paul Walker love blows my mind.
It is amazing. I will tell you this. There's a guy named Jamie Dupree who... He got I knew Jamie, and he got a medical condition. It was called tongue protrusion, something like tongue protrusion disease, a rare disease.
Mm-hmm.
He completely lost his ability to speak.
Oof.
And he was on the radio.
Oof.
And he was a correspondent on Capitol Hill. And he lost his ability to speak completely.
Jeez.
He was could communicate, he could write. He could type. He lost his complete ability to speak. They created through AI. And he had been on radio for 25 years. He was able to do his job. Even till I left Atlanta, he was able to do his job with computer generated of his voice.
See, now that's amazing.
He would type out his voice. Jamie Dupree, you can go read about him. He would type out his radio report. And they would go, here's Jamie Dupree in Washington. And it would be... Today, the president, and it would still sound a little odd in the kids, but it was his own voice.
Now, that's amazing, but he made that choice.
Anthony
Bourdain has passed, and people are making the decision for him.
That's his estate trying to make money off him in his death.
I find it creepy.
Apparently, the estate's not happy about it, though. Apparently.
Yeah, but they gave the rights to do the project, because I did read about it. They gave the rights to do the project.
Yeah, because the project itself, it's not a good look at Bourdain. Like, it's not this glowing...
It's a real look.
Apparently. Yeah, it's not glowing anymore.
He never hid from his problems.
Yeah, but I heard he was like he was this guy. He owned who he was.
Yes,
right?
He did. Very much so.
He did, but
he had troubles.
If you're looking for a documentary about a guy and you think, oh, this is going to be just the good stuff. Like, it's a lot of... It's a good look at a celebrity who reaches the top and goes, oh my God, like, I have all of this stuff and I'm still not happy. So it's... I feel like this is like the least of their problems.
I know, but the artificial intelligence voice of a dead guy is weird.
It. I think it's amazing.
I get the creepiness factor that you're talking about. Yeah, that kind of
like what's next? Jeopardy's going to be hosted by Alex Trebek.
Now, I know, I will not expose them.
I mean,
it's Tupac play Coachella.
Yeah,
someone who's a huge fan of Anthony Bourdain that I know is completely convinced he didn't hang himself. Somebody murdered him.
Whoa.
He says Anthony Bourdain had everything to live for. There's no way he killed himself. He got murdered. Somebody murdered him.
He had decades of depression and drug use.
Tell that person to go actually watch the documentary.
That's it. And I heard that. Because I've read some...
And his girlfriend/wife had just cheated on him pretty publicly.
He was sending some emails that were clearly a cry for help.
I think he is incredibly complex.
Very.
But... fascinating.
He's one of, if you could ask me like three or four people to sit down and have a meal with, he's probably in my three.
The only thing is I wouldn't pick him because he'd take me to some place where they're like eating street food.
I would love that. I remember we were on the air the morning that he died. It was me, you, and Anthony. My wife cried. Anthony was inconsolable. Like he loved Bourdain. I'm sure he'll talk about it when he comes in, but he absolutely loved him. He is a guy I would love to share. I would have loved to have shared a meal with him.
I think I know why Anthony liked Bourdain.
The travel.
The travel.
The food, the travel.
But also, too, I think Anthony's got a little bit of Bourdain in him in that he's very... Anthony is who he is.
Anthony likes real.
I say to people, I have friends of mine who are looking forward to meeting Cuz at FanFest. And I said... Well, you already know him.
Yeah.
Because Cuz is exactly who you expect to meet, you're going to meet.
Can I rip Jamie real quick for a second?
Sure, anytime.
He brings this topic up. I see Joe Bell run to his computer to look up how to make AI artificial voices for all of us.
And then,
it's like you pay that one price, so...
Damn,
we're probably
boss.
All going to be out of a job once he gets enough information.
Damn the boss.
Great job, Jamie.
That's terrible.
But can AI talk about butt funneling Gatorade, Pat? That's the bigger question.
Because you just brought it up.
They were waiting for it. All right. Yesterday, Pat said something that I completely disagree with. But I understand his point a little. We'll get to it next as we roll along towards Cuz Radio at 10. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Why did Scott piss off his wife last night? Big listener to the John Kincaid Show. He might need to call Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Think of something that happens on the John Kincaid Show that might have made Scott's wife, as I'm going by his email here, get up, leave the living room, and go read a book in her bedroom because of something that happened on the John Kincaid Show yesterday.
Egan's hockey analysis.
I don't think that was it.
No.
Scott says to me, I don't know what the trigger is for you and Egan, John, but would you please never, ever do your little routine back and forth about the growing pains theme? What the trigger is, the word, someone brings up growing pains in a conversation, and then Pat, I'll say to Pat, Pat, show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your... Well,
it was just as bad the first time.
So Scott says he could not...
So was Shakeisms.
Scott says he couldn't get it out of his mind yesterday.
Oh, you're singing it all day?
He was in a staff meeting.
Oh, no.
And two of his teammates on his team said... Stop it. Why are you humming and singing the growing pains
thing?
Show
me that smile.
He came home last night and was doing it. And his wife said during dinner, Scott's wife said during dinner, and I quote, I am going to take a frying pan across your head if you don't stop. You didn't even like growing pains. So last night they're watching TV and he was humming it and she said, I've had enough, and got up, took her book, and went into the other room.
This
and went
is you. You do this. The rally house. You have it. You heard a song and you were humming it, and then it got stuck in my head one day. This is a John Kincaid problem.
Don't make me now. I told Scott, I said, don't make me get you on one. There is one song that I could haunt your whole day with, and I won't. And it's not the rally house thing. Bob never saw the show, I guarantee it. But I know you did, and I know you did, and I could get it in your head, and you'll never get it out.
What I'll say to Scott, because I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole that you just did. What I'll say to Scott is this sounds like an interesting case for Michelle Ferrari, who's licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
It's the longest TV theme song ever.
Why are we even thinking about this, guys?
I don't want to do it.
And we're thinking about it. It's the first time I've ever wanted to hear Bob talk about, we got the Phillies game coming up.
Well, I got to tell you this.
First time? Thanks, Pat.
Style points were discussed on the show yesterday. The problem is, are they more important in one sport than another? Pat said yesterday, definitively, style points don't matter at all to him, just get the win. And I totally understand the philosophy. But I don't understand the philosophy in one sport over another. Because I value style points more in baseball than football. In football, I'm always like, just win and survive. Win and survive. Get to the next one. But in a baseball season, I put more value on style points because you see a team play 162 times. And right now, this year has been a painful colonoscopy that watching the Phillies play. They're two and a half games out of first right now. They are in the mix. They have a chance to make this an interesting end of the summer. But to me, it hasn't been sort of fun to watch. Style points matter to me more watching a baseball season than a football season.
Well, I think if you're winning with style points in baseball, John,
and you're winning 90 games a season, style points will come into play, what, 60, 70% of the time. 60 of those games you're going to win because you're better. And it's going to play out like that. So style points look good. You get good pitching. You get good hitting, whatever it may be. If you're grinding out football games, you only have to do it 10 times a year.
Yep.
11 times a year, maybe.
Yeah, if you're grinding out a game, yes.
Yeah. So, but this Phillies team, to relate the two, this Phillies team, I think, is just a grinded-out type of team. That's the way they're going to have to win.
So you do believe that?
I do. I don't think there's style points on this. I agree with Pat. You just got to win. And it sounds silly, but even if you get an outing from Wheeler like you got the other day, which was subpar for him, you got to grind it out and win. They have to find ways to win.
I don't really care.
You really don't.
In any sport, a W is a good W to me. I mean, all these sports are kind of grinded out leagues. We're talking about the world's best. So I feel like style points, while it's nice to just do what the 2017 Eagles did and steamroll people, I don't care. If it ends in the same result, it's fine with me. I mean, you might sweat and be on the edge of your seat and throw a remote, but a W is a W at the end of the day. Like, when I saw people complaining about first round Sixers wins, I'm going, people, there's no bad wins in the playoffs. So to me...
See, I sort of feel that way in playoffs.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Survive.
But regular season, like, the Phillies aren't probably ever going to be good enough to be 100-plus win team for a long time.
No.
So they're going to have to grind it out, so I don't put too much stock in it.
What, Pat, I mean, you're
my mind has not changed.
Does your baseball, but it is the philosophy just imprinted on baseball, imprinted on football, imprinted on basketball? It doesn't matter to you?
Depends on the level of expectations. It also depends on the team you have, which go hand in hand. You know, I probably complained about style points back in 2010, 2011 when the team was loaded. So if they would lose two games in a row, if they would get swept, I was probably complaining. But since I've had a decade of bad baseball, as long as you get a win, I don't care how it happens, because I just want to get back to the postseason. You know, I said it the other day, but not every team can be the 2016 Eagles, 2017 Eagles, which they were just dummying teams. It was fun to watch, for sure.
And they were.
Style points
was so much fun to watch.
Really only count for great teams, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, yeah.
Right? Like,
what's up, bitch?
Yeah, like, you kind of have to be a great team to handle teams easily, and those are your style points. The rest of the time, for 94%, 95% of the teams, it's going to be a grind.
I think nitpicking on style points happens mostly with football, though, and for the obvious reason that it's once a week. So the Eagles could come out of the game, say, win, you know, 30-20, and it's like, yeah, but why the running game wasn't as good as it could be. You know, you're going
to nitpick
on different areas.
What are you, Jeffrey Lurie now?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's interesting, though. I like that. It's weird because whether it carries from one sport to another was interesting there.
No, it's kind of the same for me.
In Cooney's Corner... Bob loves interaction. You just don't know it.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
So, it's interesting because you bring up the YouTube page an awful lot, John.
Sure.
And
some
you know,
of
you
our
keep
most
an
loyal
eye.
Listeners,
yeah, exactly.
We love you.
Yeah, absolutely. You keep an eye on that. We get texts and we get tweets and all that stuff. And it's mostly, even I think the YouTube thing that you read, I would say what, 80 to 85% they bring up stuff that they disagree with us on.
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
No, yeah, absolutely.
And that's fine. I am not complaining at all. I think if I were to take, I don't know, give me a name of someone that, Mr. Snuffy, does he disagree with us a lot?
Every single thing that he writes.
No, only for 4 hours a day.
Only for everything that he writes.
So here's my point that
there's
I think
no,
is...
There's no balance at all.
Yeah, here's what I think, though, and I could be wrong here, and I'm putting it out there as a question. When I was doing the beat, every time you go to a different part of the country, you know, they might have you on a radio show to talk sports.
Okay, sure.
I'd listen to that show, or I'd stop into the station. Nobody has the passion of Philadelphia, and I'm not kidding you. Of the NBA circuit that I ran for years, not one fan base has the passion that Philadelphia does.
I think you're right.
So I was thinking about this last night. Somebody brought up to me that somebody said something negative about us. And I thought, yeah, but that person, Mr. Snuffy, for example, he can talk negative about us to all the people and to us on this thing. Would he have our back in a fight?
Yeah, I believe in Snuff.
You know what I mean? I would think.
No.
See, you think Mr. Stuffy's going to let your teeth get kicked in and just watch?
I don't believe that anybody who is constantly, there's nothing positive to say, is somebody that I'm going to count on in a fight. Or count on to have my back.
But he's got your back every day viewing.
That's not having your back.
Well, but
it's not having your back. It's not absolutely.
If an outsider from New York and says, I'm from New York and you guys are this.
Oh.
And I agree. No. And say we go at it with somebody from New York, but one of these people on YouTube see it. They might not agree with our point, but I bet they would have our back. That's what I think my point is trying to be that although these people argue with us, I think they're still with us. And that's what makes Philadelphia uniquely. If I go to New York and somebody starts on me, I would say, or you, or Jamie, or Pat, I would say our YouTubers have our back.
Well, I would just say to you is that I spent the vast majority of my career, and not the national radio career, the local one, in an area where I was public enemy number one to the fan base. I was the guy that wasn't supporting their teams. I was very critical of their teams. They had a billboard that said, "He's the guy who's going to tell you your baby is ugly." Like, I mean, that was sort of the whole MO. And so I always just say thank you for listening. Someone will send me the nastiest email, and I'll say thank you for listening. Because I hope that they'll listen again. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I got an email this morning telling me I'm a fat ass and I'm going to die. So I said, thank you for your... It warms the cockles of my heart.
I'm about to say
you're concerned about my health.
Pat, stop sending emails like that to Jamie.
Pat, I'm right here. Just say it to me. Sorry.
Stop it.
Yeah, I just thought...
I apologize to Jamie. Believe me.
I thought email was more professional.
I would say this. If anybody is where they are walking away doing our job and they read YouTube comments or the you stuff and it starts to affect them like, oh, I think you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, well,
so I'm gonna say you're in the wrong business.
And another reason I brought this up, because I told you for a limited times that it happens, my family's getting together this weekend. So I was talking to a cousin up in Connecticut and another other family down in Baltimore, and both as the conversation went along was, man, how do you put up with all the negativity that you get, like, that I see on Twitter or that I see on this and that? And I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand it. It's kind of like a family thing where you can tell me I look ugly or these people can. It's not that. And they're like, I don't get that a little bit. So
people
that's why
don't.
I brought it up. And that's why Philadelphia, to me, and having been all over the country and heard this platform in a lot of places, is uniquely wonderful.
Bob, the passion in this town is immeasurable to... There are a couple markets that I think have it. But compared to where I was, I mean, seriously, there's no comparison. There's none.
No, none at all.
It is where if you were saying Philly's at a 10, Atlanta's at a 4.
Yeah.
Because most people are transplants. And they have their own allegiances, and there isn't that great. My wife and daughter were always amazed every single time coming here, and they love coming in football season. And on Sunday morning, running into the Acme, going into it, and
if you wear your Eagles gear, you get like 10% off too.
No, but seeing everybody in the store, like all the checkout people,
they play the fight song.
They love it.
Yeah,
they love it.
They're
like,
funny.
That's because you don't see it anywhere else.
It's the worst time to shop in a store.
Sunday mornings?
Yeah. Sunday morning from between like 10 and 12. It is packed. It's a sea of green, which is cool. But the amount of people that are getting their stuff done before an Eagles game, it is. It's
as
horrible.
A guy who used to work in a grocery store, it was the worst shift to work.
The worst was Sunday morning.
Oh, the best was any time at night. Like the midnight shift was great because no one was in there. But yeah, Sunday mornings was terrible.
Yeah.
Now, Colin, who was watches our YouTube, says he does not participate in the chat room. He said because he believes, he goes, you got a bunch of people that are trying to get on your mean text segments. He said, I watch it. He goes, I watch every day with a shrunken window at the office. And then if I can, I'll put in my buds and I'll watch. He says, but he doesn't like any kind of, he isn't just ripping the mess. He goes, you got guys now saying because Coach gave them a forum. I don't believe that at all. I think it's that I think they enjoy each other's company. I think
it's a little community, yeah.
Right. I think it's you enjoy each other's company and you're trying to interact with other people where you're congregating somewhere.
I kind of like when I look at the chat, and I don't do it often, but you look at the chat and they're talking, like they're in a completely own argument about, like today it was about top five baseball players of all time or something like that. It just morphs into different conversations.
I told Colin, and I just said to him, I said, I don't agree with that. To me, it's a community, and sometimes communities just go off on tangents and go
off
on
sure.
And by the way, we appreciate everybody. Whether you're in a YouTube chat room, whether you're listening on your app, whether you listen on your radio every day, whether we never hear from you. And remember, in sports radio, 99% of the people are never heard from. Ever.
No.
They're never heard from an email, never heard from a call. A call especially.
But I was heard this industry's dying, John.
Really?
I've been told that.
There are some people out here who say, do you know we're the only, how about this one? We're the only city where the top programs that are consumed are sports programs. There's no other city that's matching us right now.
How about that?
And to me, that says something.
And that things kind of suck right now, too.
That speaks to
when you think about it.
Some people will say that feeds it.
Yeah, probably.
I think this city's far less negative than when I left.
Definitely.
Far less.
Definitely.
It's not even close. And things were better then.
When did you actually leave?
I left the state New Year's Eve of 94. I left New Year's Day of 95.
Were things better?
Yes. Because you had seen...
The Eagles were entering hell.
Yeah, but you had seen...
The Phillies overachieved. The Sixers were trash. And the Flyers were the crown jewel, right?
Well, remember, though, at that time...
Sixers just got Jerry Stackhouse. What are you talking about?
I was amped up, man.
But remember, though, at that time, you had seen... Every one of us had lived through... If you're in that age group, you had still seen your team have some level of success. Flyer fans, I don't know how the Flyers...
I don't know how they do it.
It's incredible. Hey, join us all for a fun day of golf at North Hills Country Club in Glenside. Coming up on Monday, August the 23rd, we'll be raising money to provide safe housing for adults with autism.
Love it.
Go to ndlgolf.org to sign up. That's ndlgolf.org.
What a great organization.
Neurodiverse Living. It's NDL, Neurodiverse Living. I didn't realize, Bob, though, as far as you get to learn more about these things, and obviously you have a more knowledge on the subject, is that that's something that's a... You don't know until you look into things that's something that's an issue.
It's just housing. Like so many things in life that there's... That's why I'm careful to be judgmental, and I say it all the time. You don't know. There's so much ignorance in this world just about different things, and I'm ignorant to a lot of things also. You keep learning, and kids with autism become adults with autism, and a lot of parents don't have a choice of what to do and don't know what they're going to do. And then when you have such a great group like this that can provide housing for adults with autism, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's a great, great cause, and we'll look forward to that Monday, August the 23rd, and you can join us out there too, where we will be out there for it. And also, you can join new Flyer Ryan Ellis on today with Anthony Gargano at 11:30.
He looks like a very cheerable guy.
Anthony, yes. They are in mourning in Smashville. They are in mourning losing this guy.
Yeah.
That whole
great
city,
trade,
they loved him. He is one of the cornerstone players that they were in love with him.
Were you shocked
team.
That they got him for
I'm
that?
Shocked. I'm shocked. For what they got him for,
right.
I'm more shocked.
Right, Nolan Patrick, are you kidding me?
Chuck Fletcher for president.
And you didn't have to give up. The thing is, you didn't have to touch the draft pick.
No.
Which is crazy to me.
Incredible. So then now it appears like Tarasenko is in play too.
Oh.
All I can say is this. I want a major renovation. I want the extreme home makeover. I don't want somebody coming in on the design on a dime. I want walls torn down. I want to see drywall and studs. I want to check the electrical. This building needs to be rebuilt.
I think
they're closer.
I actually think they have some decent young talent. I just think they lost their way. Like when because you're a hockey man, that blue line was horrible. That'd be one of the worst defensive cores you ever saw. I think you really need. I still think you need another defenseman.
And no question, you need.
And you need a legitimate sniper, probably too.
I can't and you know what I want the legitimate sniper to be? I want someone to be cheaper, who has scored goals in their career, who's towards the last 2 or 3 years of their career. Bring in a guy here who can just, who knows how to bury the puck 25 times.
Yeah.
And I'll pay for that.
I like that.
I'll pay for that.
I agree.
The fact that Claude Giroux has never had enough of those guys around him is a crime on the Flyers.
Yes.
Not on Claude Giroux.
I really don't want to see Voracek in a Flyers uniform anymore.
Nah, he's gone. Jason was saying that Voracek's gone.
It's been like a decade. I just can't look at it anymore.
I can't stand him. And that's your boy.
I said cute puppy.
Jakey.
Yeah, you well, over.
You know the story? Got rabbit ears.
You know the story?
He over.
Jamie loves him.
Overblows you know the story? Story.
What's that?
So one day we're out.
Old
we're,
city.
We're sitting outside like second chest.
Okay.
Me and the bro. Right? And all of a sudden, we're having like lunch or whatever. Who walks by but Voracek with his dog?
Directly by the table.
Oh, no.
Not by the table.
And the bro.
Oh, no.
The bro says,
I didn't say it like this.
Cute puppy, Jakey.
He walked by and the dog was like going up to people's legs.
You
and
didn't
I
didn't say cute puppy, Jakey.
No.
Yes, he did.
No, I didn't. Oh, don't listen to him. I said cute dog or cute pup.
Like a bitch.
That was it.
Jakey.
No, stop. People believe you when you talk.
Wait a minute. So did he not take the camera out?
No, he didn't do that.
Now, but listen, I'm treating bro like a king. All right, there's no sunshine, Mary. He's the ultimate. I put that to rest.
Yeah. Is he the ultimate 4x4?
4x4.
Is
he? He is. He sacrificed himself for the volcano. He's the ultimate.
That Johnny, means you got to raise Skyler, man.
Johnny,
it's on you.
Listen. We'll take care of his family. There'll be an envelope there.
That was what Steven...
Once a week.
Steven sent the last thing I wanted to end with you today is Steven sent in an email to me. 4x4, he moved here 4 years ago. He says he doesn't understand when Anthony says 4x4 and people write it as 4x4. It's 4x4.
Yeah.
He says, why is it not written 4x4? Because he didn't understand what it means. Can you explain it to Steve?
Yeah, so
4 years ago.
4x4, one dad was just talking about it. It's that you root for all the home teams. So you're 4x4, you root for the home teams. That's what you're supposed to do.
No wandering.
No wandering, you just root for your home team. And it was before the union, or else I would have said 5x5. But 4x4 is a euphemism. It stands for it all. It's 4x4.
He thought it meant the size of Jamie. When you said it, well, you would say, he's referring
not four
to you.
Foot by wide by 4 feet tall.
No, I think it's a 4x4. I think he was thinking like a vehicle. Like, you know, like a
no, yeah, you root for the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles. I mean, that's
right,
it.
Exactly.
You know.
So there's no, so if you're not in on the Sixers, if you,
right,
or
you're
you
a 3x4
games,
team,
you're a 3x4
in on the phone.
You're a 3x4 guy.
You're here for free. You know,
there you go. So you can be, if there are 3x4s who are passionate.
I don't understand it. I don't get it, because if for that one team, you're rooting against my happiness.
Yes.
You know, like, it doesn't make sense.
Just be supportive.
None. By the way, well, come the fall, I heard you talking. I'm going to drape myself in some bunting.
Oh, you like that, see?
I love
that, right? I'm telling you, chilly night walking into Citizens Bank Park.
You said it.
To watch baseball.
You said it, man.
Freaking awesome.
You said it. I love it.
That's
I
a good
love
thought.
It, brother.
Hey, support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, WinDonation. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Cancer research saves lives. Are you 4x4? Just be 1x1. Be 1x Cuz Radio. Be with it all day long. Be 1x1 with the Fanatic. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow on the John Kincaid Show. Adam Schefter joins us and more. Have a great day, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.